tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die.
No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit. What is entertaining? Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What?
Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
Arrogance.
You are shit. Y'all see what I'm tapping? Shut up! Because of my big mouth, I made this woman laugh.
You're an idiot.
Shut up. Haksui, what are you talking about? You're an idiot.
Fuck off.
Shut up.
Classy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm fucking funny. I'm fucking entertaining. Fuck you.
Alcoholism.
Kenny is a functioning alcoholic.
See, I have an alcohol issue. And
issue?
Yeah, it's an issue. It's an issue. I'm not a problem. It's just an issue.
I'm my own kind of reckless disaster. I'm fucking German. I might be Jewish, too. But I was a fucking Jedi.
Kenny likes to drink.
I was drunk. Let's all go skinny dipping. My problem is, I don't have a problem. I work all day. I come home. I have a couple of drinks. It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Arrogance and alcoholism. The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is real. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How are you?
I'm fine.
Hey, Kenny, what's going on?
Not much.
It's another installment of the Conti and Kenny Show, Arrogance and Alcoholism. We are on morelikeradio.com every Monday night, 7 to 10. The phone number, if you'd like to call us, which is starting to get more and more popular, Kenny. More and more people are starting to call us.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
240-HI-CNK. It's like they're saying hello to us. That's 240-442-2635. Or if you want to use the Skype, which is what
it's
you're using.
148, hello there.
Hello there.
It's 1, what do you hear, what do you say?
It's 188, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Yeah.
1-800, sight for sore eyes.
So, of course, if you're listening on podcast, you can check us out every Monday night, 7 to 10 on morelikeradio.com and or contikenny.com. We are one of the few programs on the whole platform that are allowed to do that because we're special. Some shows get fired for doing that, but we get to do it. That's what I say. And you can also listen to the TuneIn app. If you want to listen to us, you can download the TuneIn app and just... my headphones sound really shitty. The TuneIn app, it's a free app. It's on iHeartRadio.
It could be the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay. No, my headphones really... It's like it's coming out of one side. But I think it's the... I think it's just my little connection here. So, so the TuneIn app, it's like an iHeartRadio. If you get that and then you search More Like Radio and you put that in... as the network, and you have that station, then you can listen to us whenever you like, right on your phone, without having to punch in More Like Radio, and like our Facebook page, and also follow us on Twitter, C and K Show. All right, I got that.
Yeah, I have to apologize in the beginning because I'm not in studio, as you guys might know. I don't have the I can't see on the camera if the
it sucks. I got my Kenny face up, but you know what? I'm gonna switch it up because the one camera's not working, so nobody needs to see my extremely bearded face because I haven't shaved in like 3 weeks. So,
oh, another week.
Yeah,
huh?
So yep. I decided I just didn't care. Right now I'm in a really I don't give a fuck mode, but okay, I got Kenny's face on there.
So there you go, I like that. And if I sound a little congested or phlegmy, I am on day 10 of the dog sitting, so I'm full of dander and bullshit.
And we know how much of your favorite word that is of yours.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I associate it with my mother's house.
Dander.
Because I want to burn that thing to the ground. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. I want to kill the dogs.
Okay, yeah, maybe, look, I got Michael Vick as a quarterback now. Maybe we can ease off on the dog-killing jokes. Okay?
Oh, I don't judge him for a second.
Oh, jeez.
I don't judge him for a second. you hang around with dogs enough that you don't really care for? And I could totally see how you drowned him.
Wow. No, and we start off with a bang on the old program.
Yeah, no. They're good doggies, but we'll get into it later on.
It's a pain in the ass.
Just to let you know, in the chat room, Spiky Girl is here.
Oh, haven't seen her in a long time.
Long time, yeah.
She's one of the old listeners. And then
she probably wants to slit my throat after that comment.
What do you mean?
Well, she's got like 8 lizards, 10 cats.
Now she's got a little girl, I think.
And a baby.
That's what I mean. But, I mean, her baby now is probably 3. I'm going to guess her baby's probably
three years old. Yeah.
Because baby could be a little older because I think she had the kid when we were up in Nyack. So her kid could be, could you believe that? Spiky Girl's kid could be like 4 years old.
Wow.
Remember when she got into the car accident and she had a steering wheel head or something like that? She called it like steering wheel head because her face smashed into her steering wheel and got caught in there or something like that.
Wow. Yeah, well, she's here. She's checking us out tonight, so that's cool. Mm.
Very, very cool. Welcome. Yeah. Hope everything's going well for her. She's cool.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, we might as well get into this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm 45 minutes on a good day from my house, from my mother's. Back roads, bullshit. It's raining. I was going to head up to the studio, but I got really annoyed, and I knew it was going to happen. It's pouring rain, so I just said, let me park at my house. I'll Skype in. So, I'm like I said, I'm at like day 10. I'm done like Thursday night of watching these mutts. And it's not so much the dogs. It's I just want to go home. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's my mother's house. She's got everything you need there. You know, I sent a picture. I don't know if I sent it to you, but I had to get chicken eggs yesterday morning.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I had to do that. It's not my house. You know, I'm done. You know, I do walk around naked with the dogs. just like,
isn't that like dangerous? To let them.
Yeah, well,
isn't that dangerous if they come up and give you a really hard sniff and they, you know, like just barrel right into your groin area.
Well, that's the problem is I have to fight off the one dog. Now here's the thing. Now what it is?
The other
is,
two you have no problem with. I only fight off the one who I don't find attractive.
when they bark it in the morning, I'm like, I'm still sleeping. I'm just going down because they're not allowed upstairs. I just let them go down. I go downstairs, open up the back door, and let them go. When they bark again, I you know, take a piss and then they come back up. However it works. But it's just not my house. Mm. You know, when you move out of your parents' house when you're a kid, when you go back there and you have your own place, it takes like 3 weeks to get out of your mother's house, and you're just like, I want to go to my own home, my mm-hmm. own apartment, or my own, you know, I just want to go to, all my stuff is there, I know where everything is, it's comfortable, I just want to go home, even though it's mama's house. But here's the thing. Ye old ball sniffer, Minnie,
okay,
decides that every time she comes anywhere near me, I could be fresh linens, fresh out of the shower, powdered up, and I come downstairs and she dives right into my nuts. I mentioned this last week, that she just, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like washing a plate and I got dog nose in my butthole. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Just because, you know, of course it could be nice and fresco. You know what I mean? But dogs, they've got an acute sense of smell. They can find a dead body in Haiti. You know what I mean? There's no sphincter that's going to keep a little sniff out from a dog.
you know what
I mean? It's not like an airlock on the space shuttle. There's some leakage there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So everywhere I go, it's either up the butt or in the balls. So I tell my mother yesterday, I'm like, I'm sick of this bullshit, Ma. I'm like, I'll do it. I had to pick up shitty eggs. I'm done. A couple of more days, and she's like, just hang in there. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking done with your stupid chickens. And your dogs. And I'm like, your stupid dog, Spike Girl, how's it going? I can't hear shit. Well, I'll tell her where to listen. So I tell my mom, I'm like, well, you know, your dog won't get off my balls. Every time I turn around, she's sniffing something. And my mom's like, well, maybe you have cancer. I'm like, thanks, sweetheart.
Thanks, Mom.
Enjoy your snapper down in Florida. Your calamari, whatever the fuck you're eating there, and your sunshine, you twat. Thanks for just putting that fucking maloika on me.
Yeah, really? What's that all about?
Yeah, well, dogs can sniff dead bodies in Haiti or in rubble, and they can sniff out drugs and, you know, in containers. So I guess they could sniff out ball cancer. Thanks, Mom. So, today, when I'm doing some show prep, big article. Dog finds cancer in woman's tit.
Oh. Hey, at least you had a fun time finding it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I actually have a video. I think I sent it to you where I let her go for like 15 seconds. And I'm like, yeah, get in there. Just get some of that. Just do your thing. Go ahead. Dig around. Yeah, no, I said it last week. Like she was looking for truffles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you just were like, all right, let's see how long they just last, you know?
Yeah. I should post that again.
But yeah, you sent me pictures of a little basket of eggs.
Fucking basket of eggs. What am I, red hiding, riding cunt?
Yeah. So now, for anybody who wasn't listening last week, rehash what you're doing. You're basically house sitting for your mom, but it's not like you go house sit and you hang out, you watch TV, you walk a dog for 10 minutes. She's got some stuff going on there.
No, I have a fucking parakeet that doesn't shut up, that jumps around and screams and yells. I've got two dogs, and you can tell my mother fucking spoils the shit out of these things. Even the chickens. When I walk outside in the morning...
How do you spoil chickens?
I don't know. I don't know. They're sandwiches. You know what I mean? They're food.
Yeah.
But as soon as I open up the door, they're all against this... whatchamacallit? Spiky Girl, she goes, how's it going? I can't hear shit. I said, where are you listening? She goes, no, LOL, try not to get sound.
Oh, look at her making jokes.
Look at her making jokes.
Right, just raise your kid. Continue to raise your kid right, all right? Don't worry about jokes.
Yeah, so all of a sudden these chickens come flying out and they're just they make this noise. It's not like a buck 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 buck. They just go. It's so annoying. And you got to pick up hen cunt eggs, and then
it's just bizarre, you know. Like,
it's just there's just too much to do. There's just too much to do. Too much to watch, you know.
Yeah, but I mean you have other. You know, you're a very busy. I mean, you have a lot of other. There's things you got. Well, you pretty much have all the time in the world right now.
All right. That's why. Everyone, can you help me move? Can you help me fucking make a quilt? Yeah. I want to make a diabetes quilt. Can you help me sew? Up yours.
Bones in the chat says they make that noise because Kenny's banging them.
It's the worst. I want to get out of here so bad. I want to get then you know, and then I gotta go fucking jury duty.
Or when you gotta do that?
Next Wednesday.
Oh man.
Then I'm off to Springfield, Mass with Otto and George to do a show.
Very nice. Very
little
cool.
Little road trip next weekend.
Good, good. I'm glad you took it.
Yeah, yeah. Not this weekend, the weekend following.
Yeah.
But cool. Yeah, me and Peterson are gonna go up there and see what we can do.
And we got our show next month.
Yes, May 9th.
May 9th in Hoboken at Biggie's Comedy Club, which is it's Biggie's Clam Bar. It's on Newark Street. Show's at 11 o'clock at night, Friday night, May 9th. The easiest way to find it, because all the information's on a Facebook. We made a Facebook page for a Facebook post for it.
You made a Facebook page for the show?
Yeah, yeah. There's a Facebook page for it.
Oh, shit.
But right now, the best thing is I just have it on my calendar. So if you go to joeconti.com and then you just go to May 9th, you click on it, and it'll give you the link for the Facebook event page and also the brown paper tickets so they can buy their tickets online, because it only holds about 50 people, so it's going to most likely sell out. So I would get your tickets, buy them online. They're $20. It comes to like $21.69. You don't even need to, you know, they don't even get mailed to you. You can either get them printed on a computer or they get put on your phone. And then when you get there, boom, you just walk right in. So get your tickets now. It's going to be me and Kenny co-headlining at Biggie's Comedy Room in Hoboken, New Jersey, on May 9th, Friday night, 11 p.m. show. And so get your tickets now.
Spikey in the chat just said she got it. She's on her phone.
Oh, she did get it. Now she
Yeah, but there's no cams on the phone, I don't believe. Is there cams on the phone? I don't know. She said no cams here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably not on her phone. Oh, well.
But yeah, it should be fun. Yeah, it's you know, once I want to take, you know, I've had some time off. But I wanted to take, like, you know, I've been doing pretty well with the sleep and whatnot. I've caught up for the last couple of years that I've been on the road.
Right.
But it's just every little fucking thing someone needs done. And I don't mind doing it. It's just like, again, you know, can you drive this over here? Can you drop that off over there? Can you help me pick this up? Can you watch these? This is the second time I've had the dog sit.
Hey, Kenny, can you make it up to the studio tonight? Oh, no, you can't do that.
Yeah. If I wasn't so annoyed.
I'm sorry I was asking too much, pal.
If my mother didn't live 45 minutes from me and then go up there in the rain.
I'm just messing with you.
I know.
It's okay.
I'll be up there next week.
Yep.
Bright and shiny.
Yeah. So, but yeah, don't forget to get your tickets. And Keith Carnevale will be hosting the show. And it'll be a great night. Great night in Hoboken. So come on out.
I didn't think Keith Carnevale was that old.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Keith Carnevale sounds like a younger guy's name. And he's like, I don't know, 50?
I think he's like my age.
No, I'm only joking. But it's I never saw his picture. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
I thought he was like a young upstart kind of a guy.
Oh, he's only been doing it a short period of time. But yeah, he's you know what it is? He was one of those. He got a divorce and he was miserable. And he needed a way to vent, and he found stand-up.
Jesus, he's doomed.
Yeah.
He's fucking doomed.
Yeah.
Anyone that takes solace in stand-up is ruined.
that's what we all do. We all take solace in stand-up.
That's why we're all ruined.
That's why we're all a mess. Like these degenerates in this room. Joe Z, Bones. I mean, these guys are fucking degenerates. Josie, he doesn't really do stand-up anymore, but he was for a while. Bones, he's up in Connecticut. Horrifying people up there doing stand-up. So, with me, this weekend I was out in Pennsylvania. And
way out there.
Yeah. We were in Shamokin, Pennsylvania. And then after that, went down to...
Smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers.
Shut up.
Sorry.
And we then we went down to Chambersburg. Can't say that too quick, but... So Friday night, we stayed in a cute little motel, very nice motel. I was there years ago. They used the same motel for the same gig. And then went down to Chambersburg. It's just that, because when I found out I was getting a gig, I'm like, you know what, this will be perfect. We'll take Beverly with me. It'll be a nice weekend, you know, a little getaway, and plus I'm making money. And then I find out, oh, yeah, you're working with the coach, Tom Whiteley, who's great dude and hilarious. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And they were like, yeah, and you have to drive him. I was like, oh, not that I don't mind, but I was like, oh, you know, I wanted it to be like a nice little.
You got the old lady with you. Have a little weekend of some hotel sex.
Well, whatever it is, but just the point that, you know, we just do our thing and, you know, driving around, we stop at places. And but you know what? It worked out well, because we drove up with the coach, did the first gig, stayed in the room. Then we drove about 3 hours to the next gig because it was south.
Ugh.
It was 3 hours south, but we took a
Valium.
You should have been. We took like nice roads, you know, and then we're on the highway for a while and blah blah blah. But we get down there, and the coach's mother-in-law, his wife's mom, lives about 3 miles away from the gig. He couldn't believe it, you know. He knew she was real close, so we dropped him off, and he hung out with his mom, you know, his mother-in-law at her house. She lives alone. Nice little neighborhood.
That's worse torture than a 4-hour fucking ride to the gig. Yeah, let me go hang out with my mother's my wife's mother at her place. Yeah, just drop me off at that miserable cunt's house.
Yeah, man, listen, that's what he wanted to do, and he never gets to see her. And
you two go to Applebee's, have a good time, and come pick me up afterwards.
We didn't have to go pick him up. His mother-in-law, she's like 85, but she's still, you know, she's around, and she, you know, she drives, and so she dropped him off at the gig. But so we had a bunch of hours, and we went to this antique flea market, which was kind of cool. We saw like a lot of old shit, like tons of old lamps, and I mean records. I mean, dude, anything you could possibly name. Dude, there was one section where it looked like maybe a serial killer from the 1800s. There were just hatchets and hacksaws.
Totally into it. I'm totally into it.
Dude, it was
so
friggin' cool. And we just walked around for like, you know, like an hour or two, just checking it out. We ended up just buying some Looney Tune glasses. Because she has a couple of Looney Tune drinking glasses, and I broke one of them. I broke Petunia Pig a couple of months ago.
Yeah, you both walked past the Sweeney Todd table, and you're wondering how to slit each other's throat in the middle of the night because you're sick of each other already. 10 hours in a car. Like, we're ending this.
Yeah, so we went there, and we drove around for a while.
That's really cool stuff, though, because I'm really into...
Was so cool.
Yeah, American Pickers, Antique Roadshow, and all that kind of stuff. So that's really cool.
Tons of shit. Like old toys. Like, you know, shit from the 60s. Like stuff from the 1800s. I mean, it was just really, really cool. And it was weird. It was that we were there, and then, you know, it's like the stuff outside and inside. And all of a sudden we leave, and like 20 minutes later we were driving by, and done. It was shut down. It was like from 8 to 5 and they're done. Even on like Saturday, and you could just tell, dude, everybody out there, they're just so laid back. I mean, you know, it wasn't like we were in the middle of the complete sticks. I mean, you had the main road, which had like, you know, all the stores, you know, all the fast food places and all the different, you know, big chains and all that. But like once you get off the main road, I mean, it was just really nice. I mean, it's nice to visit. I don't want to live out there, but it's just it's a different world out there. And the shows were actually really good.
I got to find a girl that doesn't want to go pumpkin picking. I would rather drive 3 hours and go look at some antique shit and some old disemboweling tools from, you know, Braveheart. I'll walk through that shit all day long, but you put me in a fucking apple orchard and I'm going to slit somebody's throat.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think she's really into that. But it was just, dude, we could have just driven around, checked out the site, you know, the sites, but you know what I mean? Just check out stuff. And we walked around for a while, and then we stopped at a, I don't know. She wanted to go to Long John Silver's, and we walked in, and she's like, I want to get out of here. It's fucking filthy. It's dirty. I didn't notice. It's a Long John Silver, for Christ's sake. What do you think it is? You know, it's a museum. But so we ended up going to like a Ruby Tuesday for a little bit and just had a couple drinks and whatnot. So, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not bad. Like, and actually in Pennsylvania, you can actually drive and it's better. I would rather drive country roads in good weather and just kind of sightsee getting to the gig. And that happens a lot in Pennsylvania than driving like to the Bronx or like, you know, Connecticut where you got to do I-95, you know, it's like main highways because it's just annoying. But if you have like, especially on your way back when you finish the gig, when you're done, you're just like, all right, you know, me and Otto had that. We came back from somewhere out in Pennsylvania, but the way it took us, the way the GPS took us, it was all back roads. So you see, like, you know, it was like you were fucking antiquing or something. But okay. We had, you know, the windows were down. It was a beautiful, like, early summer afternoon.
Nice.
We were holding hands. We made out. We shared a dessert.
Yeah. It's just
You didn't even hear me because you were doing something else.
Yeah, I was. I was just
you just answered that, yeah, where I was said that we hold hands, we made out, and shared a dessert. And you were like, yeah, the thing is. you totally missed that one.
Oh, man. If it was anything else even remotely normal, it would have passed. Like, Conti heard what he said. But yeah, since it was so outlandish, there's no way that I could fool you.
Yeah. I was waiting for you to say something, and he went, yeah, the thing is just those, it's great to drive. just had a gig experience with a puppet, and you went, yeah, that's, you know, it's really cool.
Absolutely. What else we got on the docket there? Yeah, I was typing something back to Josie in the chat.
Yeah, well, that's my fault. That's Skype.
But, you know, it's just that it was nice, and then the Saturday show. As soon as the Saturday show was over, we drove right back, and we made some fucking amazing time.
I talked to you at like 1:30 in the morning. You called.
Yeah,
and I thought you were going to stay over another night.
No, it was supposed to be from where we were.
Did you take the coach back with you that night? Mm-hmm. No,
he lives 10 minutes past us, so we like passed our house, went about 10-15 minutes past our house to drop him off. And then came back. So it wasn't, you know, that wasn't like, you know, unbelievably awful. It wasn't a big deal. But we made such great time. Like the GPS said it was going to take us 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh.
And we made it probably about, I would say, 3 hours and like 10 minutes. Like we were, you know, because we had my girlfriend's Mercedes. So I had that thing doing like 80, like the whole way. And it was kind of cool, dude. After like two hours, all of a sudden this thing comes on. It's like beep, beep, beep. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is that? And my tire's low and I'm looking. And it
was the coach's defibrillator. His pacemaker was going off.
No, actually what it does, it recommends you to take a break. Because I was driving for so long. So this little thing on the dashboard, a little cup of coffee and a little smoke coming out of the coffee, a little like thing comes up.
Really?
Yeah. And it says, you know, recommend break. Take some sort of break. And it shows a little coffee thing. And
shit. Are you
kidding me? Yeah, it was fucking pretty funny.
then after that, like a little hot dog and a little cookie, like the old movie theater things.
They walk by, right?
Yeah, hungry. You should be hungry. And then like a little toilet walks by.
Yeah. And then it says, shh, when the movie starts.
And certain rest areas, there's just some guy and doing that blowjob thing in his lip going,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or there's like a thing of like a guy bending over another guy, stick figure with the line going through it.
Exactly, yeah.
None of that shenanigans at our rest stop.
Yeah, certain neighborhoods that it takes you through, there's just a crack smoker, but the stick figure is the actual size.
Yeah, so it was, but yeah, it was. It turned out to be good, and it was a good weekend. And
that's no kidding. That's kind of like some, you know, well, not
so Chuck Meganelli. I met Chuck Meganelli for the first time.
Oh, no kidding! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, cool dude.
Yeah, he's a real cool dude. He's a psycho.
He got in real late. So I started. I was already on stage. What it was supposed to be a co-headlining thing with Chuck and Coach, and. So I was supposed to do like, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. So the coach said, look, I'll give you a signal at like 12 minutes. And the signal, it'll either be one meaning that Chuck is here and the other one means Chuck ain't here and you just keep going. So I ended up doing about 35 minutes.
Really?
And then Chuck finally, he got there. So then I brought him up. He did like a half and then the coach did like 35, 40 minutes. Dude, let me tell you something. The way it was, for Fayetteville, which is the town right next to it, it was for their softball team, football team, and baseball team, right? But because they all were like trying to sell for their own things, they decided, let's all do one big show. And they ended up selling about 230, 240 tickets. You know, the place was pretty packed. There was a group of about, I would say maybe eight, maybe not even eight, maybe about six or seven black people that were there in the back. The one guy, before the show even started, kind of looked like Huggy Bear, and he had like a little Tom Landry fedora on and like a red button-down shirt and like a jacket, and he's out sleeping. The show hasn't even started yet.
Because diabetes kicked in. Get the pasta out already. Stop fucking around in the kitchen and you're fucking in a Knights of Columbus hall. This guy's going to die.
So he's out. Out cold, right?
Somebody get an EpiPen and some beefsteak. This guy's going in a coma.
We need a cure for sickle cell. We need a cure for sickle cell. Back row. Back row. So we're just sitting there like, all right. And then, dude, the women that were at this table, they were all, first of all, the one woman is wearing one of those clothy tight dresses that hugs your body like a something that J-Lo would wear, right? But with and she's wearing like a big black coat over it, and it is tight, but she should not be wearing something that tight. Like, she wasn't huge, huge, but she was a big woman.
Sure.
And then there was this other woman, dude. She was a fucking big monster. She had leather pants on that I swear me and you could have fucking dove in and just sat in it like we're in a fucking wading pool with two legs in it, dude. It was like, what? I just don't. And then the one had like really tight shirt. And it, I just don't get some
of that. She had enough leather to make a Zeppelin.
German engineers were following her all over the room. But it was just, what do you, I don't understand that type of self-esteem where you, like, look, no matter how, you know, even in my heyday, when I was in probably in the best shape of my life, and you know, I was about 28 or 29, I would never wear something that would be like, you know, something that doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? You have to take what you can do. You know, you take your body frame and what your shape is, and you try to accommodate it. You know, I mean, look, if you're a 190-pound woman who's, you know, 5'2", hey, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be wearing, you know, certain type of clothes, but you could wear certain other types of things and it'll, you know, it'll be fine with on you, you know? I just don't get that such high self-worth that you can
go out and be like, yeah, I look good. And it's like, no, you don't. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out and you should be, you know, covering yourself up, you know, whatever. But wear what is accommodating to your size, your body frame. Like, what are you doing? It's almost, it's embarrassing. It really is. Like, you're looking going, oh, this is uncomfortable. Like, I can't even, you know, I can't even look at him. It was just so uncomfortable. And I don't know.
Yeah, there's a point where the self-confidence is great. Of course, I would never bother anybody about self-confidence. But the, and...
Delusion?
There might be a little bit of delusion. You know what it is? It's when someone gets to a certain point. Like, you know, I've gained a couple of pounds, and I know that there's stuff that I can't wear anymore, really. You know what I mean? So I'll wear a little bit of a looser shirt. Just because that shirt that I loved, you know, when I put it on now, it's not really going to happen. It's just man tits. You know what I mean? And a little short. So I put on a bigger shirt. But maybe at a point, you know, they just sit there and go, I'm gonna embrace that. I shouldn't do the black voice because everybody does it. I'm gonna embrace this. Let's go. Here it is.
There's a difference between embracing and making it like, oh, by the way, yeah, this, you could be like, hey, listen, you know what, I'm a bigger person, you know, or I'm a larger frame gal, and this is just, you know, and you know, you're never gonna be a skinny model or something like that, that's okay. But you know, when you're really, really huge and you're wearing clothing like you're, you know,
not
like you're on the Soul Train fucking you know, the dancing thing. It's like, what, you know, like where does the confidence stop and the delusion begin?
And the practicality. Yeah.
And the practicality of it. Exactly. Where it's like, but I think it's that, hey, you know what, if it draws attention to me, it's a good thing. And I think, you know, it's that attention thing that I think we all, you know, we all kind of grasp for, whether it's a, you know, with the Twitter, Facebook or blog or, you know, YouTube or whatnot. And some people are, you know, that's kind of old school. Look at me, you know, like, oh, look at me, I'm wearing leather pants. It's like, no, you shouldn't be wearing leather pants. They're huge.
Yeah, let's see your boyfriend try to get those off. He did the electric slide twice. Carlin has a great line, raping an Eskimo. He's like, "Do you ever try to get wet leggings off a woman who's kicking,
kicking and screaming?" Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So it's just it was weird for that. But you know what, the shows were great and had a good time and got home and then
taking those kind of leather pants off a woman that size, it's like taking those big plastic things when they seal a boat off for the winter.
Or it's like trying to get a barbecue grill cover off, you know what I mean? After it's rained for 3 weeks, there's just pockets of water hanging off, like, you know, like the sheets off the side of a bed. And it was just...
Yeah, it's like trying to uncover a pool by yourself.
Yeah, with the water still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found some leaves in her vagina. What's going on?
Yeah.
But besides that, from the time that we last did our show, as I told you, I was off this last week from my regular job. And from that Monday after we left until like Friday or Saturday, dude, I had about 3 or 4 nights in a row where I couldn't sleep. I have occasionally I'll have a night where I just won't be able to sleep. And it happens to me occasionally because I'm a good sleeper, you know? I sleep. And, you know, whatever, it happens. But, dude, it was like 3 nights.
What was, did you ruin your sleep cycle or something? No. Or is just you couldn't?
I don't know. I don't know what was the problem. I wasn't feeling anxiety. It wasn't anything. I just, for a couple of days, I just couldn't. I would lay down, and I just knew it. As soon as I put my head on the pillow, I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. I just wasn't. I couldn't get a good feel. It's like, you know, it's just when you just know you're not going to be comfortable. And it was
did you catch up on any sleep later on, like a nap, or well, was just straight through
was,
3 days?
It was what it was. What I would get, like, you know, I would lay in bed and I would sleep for 15 minutes and then get woken up. But it was always woken up in like a like, and I don't know definitely if it was like a nightmare or just woke up because I was just whatever. I don't understand. So I would, you know, one of the nights I must have slept maybe an hour. A couple of the other nights, maybe two, you know, like, but, you know, you're talking about 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And then during the day, I would catch, you know, maybe an hour in the afternoon, maybe another 10 minutes here. And it was just like by like Thursday and Friday.
You have the same sleep habits as a marmoset.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a little lemur looking thing.
Holy shit. It just, I started to think like I was never going to sleep again. Like, I started to convince myself, like, wow, I'm not going to be, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just go out and find like another job that starts at like 11 o'clock and goes from like 10 or 11 to like 4 in the morning.
No.
And then I'll make some fucking supreme amount of money. Apparently I'm only allowed to sleep 2 or 3 hours a day now. And then over the weekend, Friday night in the hotel, when we got there, it was like I first laid down. We got down there. We were there by like 12:30, and I like fell asleep. And then I woke up at like 2:30, and I was watching TV and I was trying to sleep and I couldn't sleep. And then finally around 4:30, fell asleep again and got up at like 9:30. So like all of a sudden I was sleeping for a little bit more. The increments were longer. And then Saturday night when we got home, slept even more. And then last night slept pretty good, you know, but it was just. Dude, it was getting to a point. I'm still not 100% back where I'm just like, you know, just get up to pee a couple of times because, you know, yeah. I drink so much goddamn water.
Well, your body will, no matter what, your body will eventually catch up with itself. It's just your natural, it has to. Unless you have some sort of pre-existing condition, whether you're on medication or your blood pressure is high or something, eventually your body's going to go, I've had enough. You're going out for about 12 hours. So strap in. And that's when you get the good dig in sleep where you have nothing, you know, you have nothing to do, nothing planned. Or you nap for 5 or 6 hours 3 times in one day.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Your body will eventually catch up with itself if there's no underlying condition.
Right.
You know, if there's nothing else there, you know, whether it's caffeine or you're stressed out or something like that. You know, shit. Take up some drinking, brother. Knocks you right.
The
fuck
one night
out.
I had a glass of that faggoty wine that I drink. that helped a little bit. I've been taking melatonin. I just didn't want to. I didn't want to go and grab some
faggoty Sauvignon.
Faggoty Sauvignon. So I don't know. It was just. I don't. Maybe part of it was an extension from my little bit of a funk that I was in the week before, and then my birthday, and another year older, and your career, right. And you just I know, big fucking baby. But
no,
I
but
thought
remember,
maybe that's
also,
what it was.
Yeah, remember too that you know you're on a trip. Coach fucked it up. That he's, you know, not that he fucked
but it was
up
before but, the trip too. I mean, it was leading up to the trip. Yeah. Was the ending of it actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it could be a whatchamacallit, you know, combination of things. But, you know, like I said, your body will eventually catch up, but your mental issues, you have to deal with yourself.
Well, they'll continue on for another 45 years. Sucks. It's been a weird week. Brent, Bones in the chat said, sounds like you have your period.
He might be right.
What a dick.
That's funny.
Oh, God. Well, we have the regular cronies here tonight. So they'll be smashing us for eternity.
Yeah, by the way, we'll be chat room's light on this side too.
And well, no, I got the regular cronies in here, but well, also the championship, the NCAA tonight from the Final Four. It's the championship tonight, but you know, I don't know how many people will be watching the college championship game. You know.
Yeah, I'm not really.
I've never been a college football guy either. I never really cared for it. I mean,
when I played a lot of basketball, I used to be a huge college basketball fan.
Right.
You see all the guys up and coming. You're like, this guy's going to be good. You know, like I discovered Vince Carter. You know what I mean? Like those guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course I didn't. He was on North Carolina, but I saw him dunk once, and I'm like, that guy's a fucking good dunker.
He sure is.
But I used to be really into it. Now it's just like I don't know any of the players, and I'm like, eh, I'm good.
Our producer, White Ass Brent, in the chat says, you and Kenny should be happier today. You both moved up 1.5 places in the comedy world with John Panette dying yesterday. That's not very nice. And if you want to follow our producer, Brent, it's at White Ass Brent. If you want to, we can talk a little bit about Panette. And maybe I'll find a really good
Let's find a couple of clips and do it after the break.
Yeah?
Yeah, that might be better to do. If we can find because we got to talk about him and Mickey Rooney. We'll put those two together. It's already 10 to 8. Are we going to 9 or 10 tonight?
We're going to go to 10. And okay. We're going to go to 10 on More Like Radio because they're not doing a show tonight. They're sick.
Aw.
Do you want to play a little John Panette?
To go into the break?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. And we'll get back into it because there's a couple of things that a lot of people really, really like John Panette. And whatchamacallit? Otto knows him for a long. You know what? Maybe we can call Otto because he's known him for a bit.
Did he know he knew Panette?
Yeah. Yeah, well, during the break, I'll call Otto real quick, and maybe he could just do a call in.
Okay.
But let's write down that that phone number. That's 247. Come along, see me sometime.
No, it's not. Come along, see me sometime. All right, it's not May West. It's 240 Hi C and K, and that's what they should say when they call up. Hi C and K.
Oh my God.
Which is 240-442-2635. All right. You know what? I'll play. It's got the Chinese buffet, but it's only like a minute 28. So it must be a short. Let me find one that's a little bit longer. You know what? This is like 5 minutes. We could play a 5 minute bit. It's the original Chinese buffet. This is his classic bit. This is old. You could tell that this is his. His signature bit that he's so well known for. So you want to? We'll take a break and then.
And remember, even if you didn't like him, he's been around for a long time.
I used to say like, this John Panette guy. All he does is talk about fucking food. But you know what? The guy, and this was within like the last couple of years. Like I would listen to him, I would hear him on like the Comedy Channel, and I go, you know what? This motherfucker. He's not just a one punchline. He could talk about gluten for an hour. It's unbelievable. He doesn't just do fat jokes. Like the guy gets into talking about. He's good. He was really fucking funny, man. So let's we'll do this one. This is
all right. Yeah, we'll come back. We'll talk about him, and Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Wow. This is old. He was like very young, round faced. All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, maybe have Otto call in or
whatever. I'll give him a call on the break right now.
All right, cool. Let's take a break. It's the Conti and Kenny show on a More Like a Radio dot com.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here because I was just in Las Vegas. So I need the money. I lost a lot of money. I really did. I mean, I get them back at the buffet, don't get me wrong. $9.95, all you can eat. We'll see who wins this friggin' handout, won't we? I do believe I have blackjack. I was at the prime rib counter going, hit me again. The buffet manager was horrified. You should have seen him. He looked like a deer caught in the headlights. Get the prime rib back in the kitchen. Finally, he just gave me my money back. Here's your $1,000. Get out! Actually, they have a buffet in Las Vegas. It's called the Oz Buffet. It's the Wizard of Oz theme, and it's a buffet. You walk up, and it's the Emerald City, and it's an all-you-can-eat buffet. I ran to it. You're out of the witcher, out of the doctor, out of the night. Step into the sun, step into the light. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi, oh my. Prime ribs and pork chops and scampi, oh my. You know, I talk about buffets not because I'm a big guy. No, I'm actually writing a book, Around the World in 80 Buffets. And in my research, I found that there are some foods that shouldn't be all you can eat. Like Chinese food shouldn't be all you can eat. Because you get hungry again. I don't know what it is. They put something in it. They must. Because I order takeout, they're always real happy. Oh, he's gonna be back. I give that big boy 1 hour. Because you do get hungry again. What is it, too? And you go from full to starving. There's nothing in between. You go from, oh my God, I can't believe I ate all that chow mein. Hey, look, they brought egg rolls. So I went to this Chinese all-you-can-eat buffet, and well, the owner, he got pissed. I mean, he was rude, though. He'd come out every hour. Son of a bitch, still here. Look, he go again. He started screaming at me. You're gone now. You're here 4 hours. Why you're here 4 hours? You're not come here anymore. Why you have spare rib? You're so big. Eat vegetable. Eat broccoli. You'll scare my wife. Love Chinese food shouldn't be all you can eat. Now, Japanese food. For the book, I went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place. All the raw stuff I can eat, huh? It was $22.95. $22.95 for raw fish. $22.95, you throw this on the grill. $22.95, I can't eat a dollar's worth. I brought a seal. I put them right under the table. Another plate, please. That seal ate buckets full. The owner thought I was eating it all, though. Got yelled at again. This guy scared me, though. He reminded me of Lord Torunaga from Shogun. Yo! Big boy! Big boy, come here! You eat like free. That's you eat like Free Willy.
To contact the Conti and Kenny Show live, call 240-HI-C&K. That's 240-442-2635. Or you can still use the Skype, NPN Studios. Whatever that means. Don't know. Rubbish. But call them anyway. Fuck it. Who cares? I don't. What are you talking to me for? Don't ask me. I don't know. Fuck all. Piss off. Go on, sod off. Get out of here. Keep sodding off. Bastards.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Wrestling's fake.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus!
The organization that brought you Tangled Web, Tournament of Death, and Prelude to Violence. 15 years of hardcore tradition. The Combat Zone is professional wrestling's proving grounds. Combat Zone doesn't do PG. No ballroom dancers or pimps shucking and jiving in our ring. Just the biggest names in independent professional wrestling. Masada.
Oh my God! What?
Adam Cole.
Only in pro wrestling can two men kill each other and then follow it up with a hug covered in blood.
Danny Havoc.
Oh, no.
Drake Younger.
Just moving your body on the canvas. Painful?
CZW features the ultimate hybrid style of high-flying mat wrestling combined with hardcore, death-defying action the other promotions wish they were allowed to show you. Get the latest news on live events, internet pay-per-views, and more. Or score yourself a classic CZW t-shirt from their online store. Support the ultra-violent underground. Go to czwrestling.com or follow Combat Zone on Twitter.
Hey, smokers, you stink. I'm not talking about your character. That's a given. I'm talking about your clothes. It's time to kick the butts and move over to something more pleasant. I'm talking about e-cigs from Smokeless Image. They're cheaper than cigarettes, don't smell, and are available in a wide variety of flavors ranging from mints, fruits, desserts, or the traditional tobacco flavors if that's what you want. Simply go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke for all your vaping needs. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were going to say that, and I was going to ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just 11 bucks.
Dude, looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRtees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRtees. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRtees.
Hey, you.
Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, Notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
I love you.
I love you.
Oh, maybe I'll go on the bottom here.
It's psychologically bad for my penis.
Call me a faggot and hit me with a stick. Yep. Swing.
Shut up.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
All right, we're back. You there, buddy?
Yes, we are.
All right. Did you talk to Smiley Face?
No, I left him a message.
Yeah, figures.
He's getting mad.
Getting mad. What the fuck? I was there 2 days ago. Now you want me to body you?
Yeah, we had a nice meal the other day.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Of course, you're checking out hour number two of the Conti and Kenny Show. Look at me breaking it up in hours.
Look at you.
It's, phone number 240-HI-CNK. That's 240-442-2635. Skype.
You know, I tell you, that's a good return song.
Isn't it great?
Yeah, it is. Because
you could
good.
Be like, you could just be like, you know, welcome back. It's Arrogance and Alcoholism, the Conti and Kenny Show. If you'd like to call in, the phone number, NPN Studios. Hello, welcome.
It's 240. Hello there.
Hello there. Like our Facebook page.
240. What's happening?
Follow us on Twitter.
240. How's it hanging?
Subscribe to our shorts.
240. Phone number. 240. Squeeze it easy. I don't know. I ran out. I stalled.
All right. All right. That's funny. That's a great one, though. Yeah, Moby Dick. All right. Well, if he wants to call in, that's cool. So Panette died, I think, Saturday. In a hotel in Pittsburgh, and we were out in Pennsylvania on Saturday, and he was on his way. I think he was doing another gig on his next gig was supposed to be Thursday, in like Ontario or something like that, somewhere in Canada.
He was with his girlfriend. And he went to an antiques roadshow, and then decided to off himself because the coach was open up for him the next day.
Yeah, so it's. It's sad. I got into Panette over the last couple of years where I really appreciated how funny this dude was. Like, I thought he was one of those one-trick pony. Like to me, George Lopez, he just doesn't do it for me. He's just, you know, and I'm not even saying he's a bad comic, you know. I mean, you know, I like the fact that he calls out Mencia for being whatever he is and all that, but... It's just, you know, everything's about being a Chicano. It's like,
Difference is Lopez's old stuff. If you watch it, like his first special, he was just doing stand-up. You know what I mean? He had a little bit of the Latino thing in him. You know what I mean? But if I keep saying, you know what I mean, I'm going to punch myself in the face.
You know what I mean? And how about whatchamacallit?
And whatchamacallit, yeah. Yeah. Who says whatchamacallit? What is this, 1974?
Here, you know what? Hold on. I got an idea. From now on, every time I hear you say whatchamacallit, I'll just give a little ding to the bell so you'll know how often you say whatchamacallit, all right?
And then I got a drink.
Yeah, well, in between your drinking, you'll drink?
I like this game.
All right. White Ass Brent says, you guys want me to see if I can get Dark Fox or Punchy on the horn and we can discuss WrestleMania for a while? And he put a smiley face afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's big doings in a WrestleMania arena.
Yeah, you know, I just...
Well, we'll get into that care. In a second. We'll get into, let's go back to the Panette thing.
Yeah, so it's like, in the last couple of years, I really, like, got, like, this real respect on how funny he was. And you know what? Instead of sounding, you know, saying one-trick pony, he mastered, like, a certain topic, if I may. And most of the topics...
you may.
if I may. And
hello, it, ball.
Address the ball. And it was either about food or his weight or eating or what's in food. And, dude, the fucking guy, it never sounded repetitive. It never sounded old. I mean, he was... The thing that got me to like him, I was listening to on the Comedy Channel, and he was talking about being in France, and he was just complaining, and the whole thing was about the terrible food in France, and he's got this guide that's with them, and they're you know, showing him around, and you know, for like almost 2 weeks, and finally goes, you know what, today what we might do is we might go, we'll take a ride about 45 minutes east of here into Italy, and then maybe go check some stuff. And he goes, we're 45 minutes away from the motherland of food, and you didn't tell me this 15 days I'm in France, and I could have been, and it was just
funny,
hilarious, dude. He was so funny. I never met him. I never knew him. I heard some people. I saw a lot of comics on Facebook who said they got to meet him, and he was like one of their first guys that they really liked, and they said that he was really cool and a really nice guy.
Yeah, well, he was around before the boom. He came up with, you know, the Seinfelds and Otto and Georges, you know, all that New York. I believe he was a New York guy back in the, you know, late 70s and in the 80s boom.
Panette was a New York guy?
I believe he's a New York guy, yeah, because Otto's talked about him before. Said he's been a drugger kind of a guy.
Yeah, they said
kind of a gluttonous kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny is it's how many more comedians are they're gonna find dead in a hotel room? You know? It's always a fucking hotel room.
It's never a band condo that the comedy club bought. It's always in a hotel room.
Oh, it's never besides for Kinison dying in a Corvette. Everybody else, there's no. Yeah. Yeah, he was a comedian turned good, dies in his Ferrari.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only one.
It's always, you know, it's a Mitch Hedberg and a fucking, you know, some Giraldo. Halfway house in Patterson.
Yeah, Giraldo. I mean, you know, there's a...
Bones exactly, Giraldo was another one, yeah.
Yeah. Bones in the chat said, that's from the special, I'm Starving. And he said, it's just amazing stuff.
Yeah, a guy you can equate, not equate, but someone that is, I've probably been influenced by him, is that the Iglesias guy.
Oh,
what's his name?
Fluffy?
Yes, yeah, I yeah, yeah.
That
we're
fluffy
taking.
Fluffy thing.
Yeah, well, not saying that he's doing Panette's acting.
No, I'm not saying he's doing Panette. I just don't like that, oh, I'm fluffy thing. There's some guy that used to go to clubs in Morris County. He was this big dude, and he was like this big black guy. Probably like 6'3", and he was like a, you know, a bigger dude, you know, belly and, you know, and all that. Like, he wasn't grossly overweight, but he was like a, you know, bigger dude.
Comic?
No, just some dude that we used to see in our 20s at all these clubs where, you know, he would just hang out. And, Panette is from Boston. He would always...
East Coast guy.
And he would always have this shirt on that says, I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. And everybody knew him as, hey, Fluffy's here. He was just, I don't know if he was a little slow. I'm not even sure, but.
Well, you try carrying 450 pounds around. You'd slow down too.
No, he wasn't that big. But I'm just saying, like, that was in our 20s. Yeah. This was the early 90s.
Get 6'5 and 450 and see how much your 40-yard dash goes down.
Actually, Gabriel Iglesias, a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who, and he's not known to ever claim this, said that Gabriel Iglesias stole one of his fucking jokes verbatim.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, very possible these days. Gabriel Iglesias.
I should try to call him. He won't have a problem
being anonymous.
No, I'll call him and ask him if he wants to. Well, didn't. If I call him and say, hey, dude, you want to tell the story about Gabriel Iglesias? How is it anonymous? Because they're going to know who it is, you know?
Well, not Gabriel Iglesias, but the guy who did the joke. We won't tell who the guy did the joke, who the first guy.
Well, if we call him, everybody's going to know who he is, right?
I don't know. It all depends on who it is. What are you fucking calling Carlin?
No, it's one of our friends, you fuck. You know him.
Oh, do I? Okay.
But anyway, I just never liked that.
And Gabriel Iglesias, he is a big pole smoker, too.
He's gay?
Yeah, I heard he's big time gay. Yeah.
Oh, no, well, big time. Get it. Really? Yeah, I didn't know that.
I heard he's gay.
That's cool. But I never liked that. It was like, you know, you brought Fluffy to the stage, you know? Like, it was a hack joke that a guy in the 90s who was just going around clubs just trying to get some attention from, like, girls would have the shirt on. He says, I'm not fat, I'm just Fluffy.
Right. You know what annoys me about whatchamacallit? Guys like, see now, like John Panette just talked about food, right? And you accepted the whole thing. Louis Anderson had like issues with like food, you know what I mean? Being overweight and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few people in this world who have never been overweight. You know what I mean?
Right.
Son of a bitch. There it is again.
What?
And you gotta hit the bell. I said, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I'm doing it for whatchamacallit.
Oh, you're doing a whatchamacallit? Okay.
Yeah.
Me personally, you will never, ever in the time that we know each other, I will never go, hey, that fat fuck. In like a derogatory way.
I've never heard you saying that to, like, smash anybody.
Never. Because it hurts. It hurts me that when someone says it. Well, it hurts me because, you know, my brother's a big dude.
Okay.
And when my brother guy goes, oh, it's just fat guy wants cake. I'm like, you don't have to say that. You know?
Well, remember me and your brother, we used to see each other and we'd be like, fat guys, you work out. Fat guys, you work out. You know?
Yeah, it bothers me. There's something inside that I want to be a protector. And maybe that's why my brother hates me now.
Okay, well.
Because I've fought his fights for a long time.
Well, he has at least a different reason than everybody else to hate you, but, you know, it's different.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. But there's something about it that if someone attacks someone for their body index or whatever, I don't like it. I really don't like it. If someone...
But you, and it's not like you used to be a fat guy or something like that. You've always been pretty thin, so that's a little weird. But I mean, I'm not saying it's like, you know, like you're an idiot or whatever. It's just usually it's somebody who's suffered from that who usually ends up being somebody who's very much against it. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you know, my weight has fluctuated over the years. It's always I get up to like 200 pounds and then I go on some starvation cocaine diet and get down to like 160. Then I balloon back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely healthy. Right.
Yeah. It's the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to find me dead in Springfield, Mass. Okay, next to Otto.
You're going
to
look good, though.
I'm going to die in Springfield. But I never liked that. That was never funny to me. That was never funny. And my brother...
Comedian in Springfield, Mass. Dies in hotel room. Had a shirt on. It says, I'm not fat. I'm on cocaine. Yeah, Josie's laughing. It was kind of hysterical that Conti's eating while Kenny's saying this. I just had my very healthy... what is it? Daybreak... it's a crisp bar. So you're sitting there and I'm going, yeah, I understand why I want to bust balls and fat people. Cocaine diet. I just didn't know if you heard me, and I had a feeling that the listeners could hear, and I just figured I'll just keep going with it, you know, until somebody says
totally,
something.
I totally heard it, but I was like, I wasn't going to go, are you eating? Not gonna do that.
Yeah,
that's really funny. No, but I never liked the you know, like the Tommy Boy, fat guy in a little coat. Because, you know, whenever you're, you know, whenever you gain weight and you're overweight, you're self-conscious of it. Of course you're self-conscious of it constantly. And then to sensationalize it, I don't know. It's weird for me because I've always tried to protect my brother when they were like, you're fat ass or whatnot. It just drove me nuts and I wanted to rip somebody's head off. So you'll never hear me, you know, I'll think of something else. I'll find your shirt or your haircut or I'll find something else.
Or your inner beings.
Yeah, yeah. I'll find something else to make fun of besides for weight. There's something there. You know what it is? It's kind of like.
Josie's like a Daybreak crisp bar. Is that the one that comes wrapping in a maxi pad? Such dicks.
It's almost like
it is weird though because you've always been, for you to take that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you know what it is, dude. It's like years ago in my job where I'm at, a friend of mine that got me the job, right? He was always a big boy, and I've known him since I was probably maybe 15 years old. His family owned a pizzeria in town, and he was always, and his family, they're all very big people, right? So, and I worked with him, and when I was there and he was there, like, you know, I'm big, but, like, I'm bigger now than I've ever been in my life, but, like, my normal regular size, some people would look at me and go, hey, that's a big fucking dude. Or some people look at me like, that guy's a fucking gorilla. And then some people be like, hey, what's up, fatso? Whatever. It all depend on what your image, the way you looked at me. Right now, I'm like, yeah, pretty much everybody's like, yeah, he's just a big fatso. But the point was that, so we were sitting there, and we were all busting balls. And at the time, I was probably, I don't know, 250. And I was pretty much, I was in pretty good shape, but I was still a big guy. And we were all going back and forth, and a couple of the guys were all, like, bigger dudes, and we're all doing, like, fat jokes to each other, and we were all smashing my friend Mike, who's a big guy. He was always a big guy, like, you know. And so when it kind of stopped, this one woman that worked there, she comes up to me, and she goes, because me, I was being really, you know, I'm smashing him good, you know? I mean, you know, he's a friend of mine, you know? It's me. I'm a comic, you know? I'm smashing him pretty good. And she comes up to me, and she was our human resource person, but she wasn't doing it as an HR person. She was just doing it as a person. She goes, you think it's a little, you know, you guys are being a little rough on Michael, don't you think? I'm like, and I go, did you hear what he was saying about me? Did you not hear him smashing me? We were all smashing each other. And she goes, yeah, but that's different. And it was, you know why, dude? Because in the grand scheme of things, I really wasn't like a fat guy in reality. And he was. So even though he was making fun of me and Mike, to this day, we still, you know. But in reality, it wasn't. It was like, yeah, I'm just a bigger guy, you know, who, you know, whatever. I'm a bigger frame and I got a little extra fat on me and I'm just a bigger guy. Where he was a big guy. He was probably, you know, in his high, you know, between 370 and, you know, like somewhere, you know, 370, 380, you know. So he was a big guy. So that was the difference. So I think when somebody like your brother, and Kenny's brother's probably, what, 6'1"?
Yeah, 6'1", 6'2", somewhere 6'1", 6'2", yeah.
Probably 290, maybe even 300 pounds, but he's just a big, big guy.
He's always been a big guy.
But the thing is, some people would look at him like, man, that's a big fucking dude. You know, like, you know when you see a guy who's not really a fat guy, but in, he's like, yeah, I'm a fat bastard, and he's kind of a wrestler, but he's just got a little, you know, and it's like, yeah, it's okay. You know, he's not really fat, you know?
Yeah, when you're the gorilla, when your body index looks like a gorilla,
Yeah.
You're there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
It's you're just a big gorilla. That's what like I can never see that you gain weight in your face. If I have like three beers, my face swells up and I look like a big giant stupid head. It's just a swollen head. I can never tell when you gain weight through your face. My weight gain goes to my face. If you just walk around like a gorilla, it's you're gorilla-ish. You're not like your sweatpants aren't up to your tits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bones in the chat says, I look at Joe and think, I wonder what fucking planet he is from. Josie says, yeah, I want to pat Kenny on the back. He's a real mensch for letting these rotund glutens with no control get carte blanche, but my chick is Chinese. And I gotta hear dry cleaning jokes a couple of times a month.
And it's gluttons, not glutens.
He spelled it glutens, okay. Yeah.
Well, glutens are what you should stay away from.
Right. Rotund glue. I don't know why I said it. One more T made me sound like less of a retard. If you would have put one more T on there, I would have just read it as gluttons. But it was G-L-U-T-O-N-S. I should have known in the context that it was gluttons.
And gluten is spelled with an E-T-E-N.
But still, it's one T, and I screwed it up. My apologies.
These rotund glutens.
He's a real mensch for letting these rotund glutens. What's a rotund gluten? I guess that's some sort of round French bread.
Oh, it's God. Like a challah.
That's just really like a challah bread. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, but.
Yeah, but back to comics dying.
Yeah, and back to Champanet. Josie, he says I'm writing on a tablet. Oh, okay. So that's why. All right. I thought he meant like a real tablet, like ones that, you know.
What's he?
Moses.
Yeah.
Shit. But yeah. So, Panette, I tell you, man, very another sad ending to a guy who seemed really likable and very unique. Like he wasn't just a fat guy who just went up there and did a couple of fat jokes and. Like, he really delved into, that aspect of his life and had a very nice career.
Yeah, you know what? There's been a lot of guys, too, that a lot of people don't know. old road dogs from that boom, from that 80s boom that have died. You know, I know them from, we know them from watching them on TV and back in the 80s and stuff. But, we've had the privilege of doing shows with guys that have, just like me and you, for 10 years, these guys hung out for 10 years together, 12, 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
In the 80s. And all these guys that didn't make it, they just start, everybody's just starting to fucking go,
Yeah.
It's probably, I would say for the ones that are somewhat known, I would say there's probably about 4 or 5 a year comedians that go. And that's not to count the countless other ones that are unknown, that are just like road dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Like guys that we don't even know because they're not in our circles or they could be a guy who's from Florida or whatever.
Just Otto alone has had all these guys that pass away. He's like, yeah, he lived in fucking Jersey and. We hung out for 10 years and we did road gigs and they're just dying and dying and dying. It's a really tough business. We're like fucking Deadliest Catch. people just keep fucking falling off the tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I gotta change.
What are you going to go?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in this for the long haul.
Yeah, that's all I got. I got nothing else.
Yeah, once you start doing stand up after 27, you're done. That's it, brother.
That's it. That's all you got.
It's either you do it or you die trying. Well, you die trying, and then you're still alive, and then you just die.
Oh, Jesus.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so rest in peace. John Panette, never met him, but I heard great things about him, and of course he will be missed.
I never fucking knew him, so I ain't going to miss him.
Yeah, well, oh, hey, real quick, before we get into Little Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
Little Mickey Rooney, get it? Dude, I got this message on Twitter. This is going to be the new segment called Patting Ourselves on the Back segment. So I got a message on Twitter from this dude named, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. But I guess he was following the Conti and Kenny things. And so he sent me a tweet and said, hey, you know, because I said I was going to be in Chambersburg or whatever on Saturday. And so he sent me a tweet and said, hey, where in Chambersburg are you going to be?
So you can't even say Chambersburg fast.
Yeah, it's really hard. Chambersburg.
No, you said Chambersburg.
Chambersburg. It's really hard to say. It's Chambersburg. It's not. You can't say it fast. Chambersburg.
No, but like the back, your tongue goes to the back of your throat and you're like Chambersburg.
Chambersburg. Chambersburg. It's weird. You should be able to say it quicker, but your tongue can't catch up quick enough to your brain because it should be like, you know, Phillipsburg, but it's not. It's Chambersburg.
I see what you're talking about now. Yeah.
It's like that second syllable is longer than it should be. It should be a quicker syllable. You know,
how about calling the town Chambers?
Chambers. Yeah. It's all bergs out there. There's not a Jew around, but they're all bergs out there.
You have to put a berg. You have to put a bridge or a lake, like Chambers Lake.
Yeah.
Chambers Mountain. Chambersburg.
Yeah.
How about Chambers? Yeah, I live in Chambers.
Chambers. I like that.
Yeah. So, how about I live in Parsip?
I live in Parsip.
Do you need the Annie?
I live in Pars. I live in Pars. How are you? How you doing, ladies? I live in Pars. Sounds sexy, right?
Pars?
Pars.
It sounds like a disease. I have Pars.
I have Pars.
I have Pars. All right. It's only on my back, but it's going to spread to my elbows few days.
Yep.
Then to my hands.
Sitting in class and...
My feet are swelling.
All right.
Yeah. Pars is a combination of eczema and diphtheria. It starts on your back.
It's called eggsteria. It sounds like something you order at a diner. Yeah, can I get an order of eggsteria with a side of toast and some hash browns? Make it well done. Make those eggsteria well done. So anyway, this guy tweets me. And he's like, hey, I heard you're going to be, you know, I guess whatever. He must have been hearing the show or maybe I tweeted it. And he said, hey, where in Chambersburg are you going to be? So I can't get over this.
Sorry. I apologize.
I can't get past this.
It's my fault.
Where in Fayetteville, Pennsylvania, are you going to be? Because it's kind of where it actually is. So I sent him the address and he goes, oh, great. Thanks. What days? And I go, oh, that one's Saturday night. He's like, oh, I can't. Oh, I'll be in Washington, D.C. I live about 30 miles from there. Any other date or whatever. I'm like, next time. And he goes like this. He goes, you won't believe this. I have been listening to you and Kenny since 2006. Oh, now this is where I don't understand. Tell me if where the commas or the period should be. I'm just going to read it exactly how he has it.
He should have stopped in 2007.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the period should have been.
Yeah. you won't believe this. I have been listening to you and Kenny since 2006. Always podcasts, work, fucking second shift. You guys are fantastic. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
That's like what's his name? Unbearded Felon.
Unbearded Felon. It's bearded. It's Beard Nation. Unbearded Felon.
And also, what's his name? Jeremiah. that right? They're all third shift guys, second and third shifts, so they downloaded.
Oh, okay. Oh, since 2006, always podcasts.
Yeah, work you can't listen fucking, live. He's second shift.
Oh, work fucking second shift. You guys are
shit,
fantastic.
You've been working a second shift for 14 years?
Wow.
Fucking get another job or a raise, you fucking foreman. What's the matter with you?
Hey, maybe it's what he likes. So I told him, I was like, oh, that's awesome. I said, you should call in one day. He said he might one Monday around 8:30. That's my lunch. I can't wait. So his lunch is at 8:30. Oh, wow, it is. Oh, weird.
That's great.
And it's weird. It's 8:31. That's my lunch. I can't wait for each and every podcast. 2-hour podcast, I understand, but I could listen to 8 hours. And I don't understand this, but when either one of you guys fucking laugh, which is a lot, I crack up and laugh. Too good thing, laugh, too. Good thing I work in a warehouse and can hide a little. Oh. But, yeah, so it's like, holy shit, like more people that have been listening to this show for like fucking 7 years. It's really getting, it's getting freaky for me.
No, it totally is. And I've been telling you this for, like I said, for many years. All these people are going to come out of the woodwork that have been listening for a long time. Dude, I would bet anyone find, here's the thing for anyone out there. Find a podcast that has been pretty much every Monday for the last 10 fucking years. You know what I mean? Find me a content. I don't even think like Marc Maron started in 2000 and whatever it was.
No, not even close.
Are you putting crickets?
Yeah, because that's them trying to find a podcast that's been going on since 2005.
There you go. Okay.
No. Marc Maron? No. He's been doing it a few years, yeah.
And he makes $100,000 a podcast. And meanwhile, I'm eating fucking Fruit Loops and Captain and Diet at my sister's dining room table. Staring at Gabriel Iglesias on a fucking...
I was going to let you just...
Yeah, no, I died. Yeah, I totally died, yeah. I was trying to think of something else, but it didn't happen. But yeah. That's really cool. And yeah. Once we start mentioning these people, you know, like, all right, you don't want to sit there and go, hey, you listen to us? Yeah, hey, call the show. Of course we want them to stroke our egos.
But also if they
there's a lot more people that have been listening to us for a long time.
But I think it would be pretty, like, I know what I like to listen to when it comes to radio, right? And...
As do I, sure.
And I think my favorite parts of listening to radio is when they really get into what they do. And whether it's about what's going on in the studio, and it doesn't mean like just a manager being a dick or that fake radio shit, but when they really get into either what they're doing in their lives or what's going on or behind the scenes or knowing about... You know, like how long they've been doing it and when they started and how they started. Like, I love that shit. Yeah, news stories are cool and all that shit. But, you know, I mean, you know, the topical stuff is fine. But when it becomes like real ball busting or getting into, you know, the intricacies of how it started and, you know, I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's like, yeah.
You can say intricacies real fast, but you can't say
Chambersburg. Chambersburg. Chambersburg.
Intricacies came out real fast.
Intricacies, Chambersburg.
How about caricature?
Caricatures.
Caricatures. I can't do it.
Camaraderie. I used to have a problem saying camaraderie. Camaraderie.
Camaraderie, I can do good, but
caricature.
Caricatures.
Connecticut. Caricatures. So I just always like that. I like knowing like the inner workings and maybe because I've always wanted to do radio, but I think a lot of people do. And like, you know, if somebody called in and we would be like, dude, when did you start listening? Like what, you know, what's your earliest memory or what do you remember? Do you remember us here and there? Cause what it'll do, it'll spark our memory of something that happened.
Yeah. You're true.
You know,
you're right.
Like when we had, what's her face? Victoria, not Victoria, Victoria, was it Stevens?
The Playboy Playmate. Yeah, sure.
Victoria, I forgot what
it was. Did we smack her ass?
I don't think so.
Or she showed her ass.
She probably did, but her website doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, because she's probably pregnant and fat.
I just hope so. But I'm going to put one of those clips from, because she's on one of the best of CD also.
Roy Black on crack. Oh, boo-hoo. I can't say wrong right. I say wong or wrong. What is it? Or wrong. Wong or wrong?
Rung?
Yeah, W-O-N-G, like wong, or R-O-N-G.
Hey, you know what? White-ass Brent has a really great point, but we were talking about it. We should just call it Chambers. White-ass Brent is like, if you lived in Chambers, you'd be in jail, dummy. yeah, because it's we're in, or you would be coming to the judge's chambers.
Or a medieval fucking bedroom.
Yeah, that's true.
Edgar Allan Poe, his bedroom. Knock, knock on my chamber door. Yeah, you guys didn't think I was fucking educated. Fuck all of you. Fucking Edgar Allan Poe quote. Of course, it's the Raven. Everyone knows it, but
he always listens to the podcast because he works second shift. Lunatic Radio. They were from Cringe. Now, was Lunatic Radio still doing? You remember Lunatic Radio? They were on Cringe.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't remember who was on Lunatic Radio. I don't know if they're still on. In Colorado, Dickhead says, Metal Breakfast Radio. They are diligent. Even when they can't do it, they get some other jerk-offs to cover for them. Dave Ingram rules. And that's a good point, dude.
Metal who said that?
Colorado Dickhead.
And Colorado Dickhead would have no idea of Metal Breakfast unless me and us and Metal Breakfast hooked up.
Yeah, I guess we've brought some people over to Metal Breakfast, and
sure,
he's definitely gotten people to listen. I know people
absolutely
are listening to our show because of him.
Yeah, it's probably more one sided on that side.
Maybe. Oh, look, my other pal just came in the chat. My other pal, Bandy Boy. What's up, Mark? Yeah, so it's like, you know, like how many of these shows have been around? You know, all right, we had the 1 year where we didn't do a show, but you kept doing a show on a Monday with Juvenile, and I was doing the Joe Conte thing on Wednesdays. So, and then for like, what, six? Oh, Kiernan, that's right. Kiernan and Rocket. Oh, my God. Colorado Dickhead. Oh, he found, Colorado Dickhead found us because of Metal Breakfast Radio.
No shit, really? Look at
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lunatic. And now where is Lunatic broadcasting on? Because I have heard that Cringe is working on their studio right now in New York City of actually putting having a studio in New York, and they're going to start doing radio again. Oh, Lunatic Radio is still on Monday. Oh, okay. So it's like, you know, hearing... knowing that, hey, you know what, since 2005, basically me and you, for a short period of time, you with Gaffney and those guys doing Juvenile, and me with Bob and Bill and Christine, but we've been basically doing this for, it's coming up on 9 years. So I guess even this show, after 9 years, will develop just out of sheer mathematics, we'll get some fucking listenership.
Yeah, it's persistence and
So I think now that I'm, it's funny, it's taken 9 years for me to get on board on this show. I've always just done it, you know, enjoy doing it, but never really seeing it for what it is, which, oh God, I'm really starting to sound like a douche. It's a pretty damn good show.
A little late for that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But so now, the show, but now we have us going, all right, we really got to get this thing out there. And then, of course, we get guys like Brent who climb, you know, on board and with Twitter and Facebook and the social media thing, and to really just get people, even the stupid thing like the stickers, dude, the dumb thing like the stickers. Well, I guarantee it, there are some people, since I've been handing them out at shows or giving them people, who have at least checked out a show or a short or something, because at least they have that once they leave the show. Because let's face it, when people leave a comedy show, unless it's for somebody they really, really knew or they really, really enjoyed, it's like, you know, they're just going to, you know, they might remember the show, but they're not going to remember the comics' names and all that shit. So, it's...
Yeah, well, how about this? Let's put it out there to the people that have been listening for a long time, even on podcast. Just, if you want, send us a little note, because we're not going to make every show going, hey, well, Susie from Idaho listens to us, and John from Des Moines listens to us.
No, but when you've been listening since 2006, I find that to be fascinating.
Absolutely. And if you guys just want to send us a little line, at you can go to where can they send it to it? 10 years. I don't know where.
You don't know anything. You don't know an email address. You don't know a Twitter account. You don't even know the address of the studio. Like
ContiandKenny.com at AOL.
Yeah. Roy Black on Crack. Roy Black on Crack. He knows Joe, me, from Hate Speech Radio. Hate Speech Radio got me to listen to comedy. Before that, it was actually Hate Speech. And I know Roy Black on Crack from the Levy Rooms, from doing Levy Show. That's how I saw. So it's like, and it's weird with the you know, social media and all this networking, there is a lot of room for that crossover shit, because there is so much material out there, and now it's so easy to just get it, listen to something, and done. Because we, you know, we live in a society where we're in a microwave society where we need everything right now, and we want to be entertained, and you better hurry up and entertain me, or I'm fucking turning something else on. And, you know, it's fucking cool. And there's actually some chicks that like this show. Like, I think that we could have girls that like this show, only because we're dickheads, but we're not like over the top brutal dickheads. I mean, listen, it was great. Saturday night after my show, this woman comes up to me, this girl comes up to me, she goes, because I was doing some of my material about when I was single and calling women liars and calling women evil and all that. But then I was doing material about having a girlfriend and all that shit. Some girl comes up to me, she goes, do you have a girlfriend for real? I go, yeah. She goes, is she here? I go, yeah. Where is she? And I point over to Beverly. She's like 30 feet away. And she looks at me and she goes, does she know that you hate women? I was like, yeah, I think she pretty much knows it. And every weekend when she gets a shiner, she knows. But, dude, it was just, and you know what? And that just goes to show, hey, you know what? You buy into what I'm telling you on stage or on here. But knowing that their jokes is it's a great thing.
That's funny. That's really funny.
White Ass Brian, Conti and Kenny is the number one podcast for chicks with brain injuries. Oh, here's a cute little, Josie in the chat. Here's a cute little line from a longtime listener. Move on with it.
Yes, I agree.
Move on with it.
We will make, if you guys want to call, if you guys want to say hello.
Call us with we'll your best memory of the program.
No, we'll make mention of it. Yeah, actually, you know, best memory would be good.
No, that would be cool.
Because that might spark. And,
well, that's what Jeremiah, he had his memory of, no, or was it Colorado Dickhead, one of their early memories. Oh, he was one that reminded us of the Zool getting pissed on when the guy was peeing on Zool, which I'm still trying to find that episode.
Well, that's what we're doing with the shorts. We're putting all this stuff together so you guys can have a little nugget of the older stuff that we got to find.
Yeah.
We really got to dig into it.
Well, what we need to do is we need to make the phone call to what's-his-face up in Nyack.
Sure.
And say, hey, listen, do you still have a bunch of the old shows? If we can come up there one day and just, you know, sneak them off the computer, that would be fantastic. Because we left pretty nice turns with him, you know?
Sure, sure.
Especially you. He likes you.
Because I gave him coke.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you guys who were questionable in your sexuality, I think you guys bond together. It's like having a Corvette. You drive by each other, you give a little wink and a little wave. Like, yeah.
I got laid 3 times in that bathroom.
Listen, don't tell me how you got any breaks from any of the charges that you had incurred through through the studio, just because you maybe, you know, worked some of the break, worked some of the money off in different ways than I did.
Nope, it was all female.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I love that studio.
Yeah, that fun, man. That theater.
Now I'm at my dining room table, surrounded by mail that I have to go through.
You're now always surrounded by mail. You know that, right, Ken?
Here, boy. All right.
All right.
I gotta pee. Let's take a break and we'll talk about Mickey Rooney real quick, and we won't talk about any more listeners for the rest of the fucking show.
I think we should.
They're great. Tell us you love us, and we gotta talk about Mickey Rooney. How about that one?
What, Mickey Rooney? Gotta talk about Mickey Rooney?
Again, you didn't listen to me. That's all right. It's my fault. I'm not in the room.
Oh, because I'm getting ready to
That's right, because you're looking at the thing. You just went, oh, Mickey Rooney? But yeah. You didn't hear what I said before.
Sorry. All right. So you want to do a quick break?
Let's take a break, and then we'll come back and finish up the show in the last hour.
All right. Let's do that. We'll be right back. It's the Conti and Kenny Show on More Like Radio. Oh, we're staying in More Like Radio the whole night. So, all right.
Okay, good.
Here you go. This is how you listen live to the Conti and Kenny Show. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. You can download the TuneIn app and search More Like Radio, or listen through the chat on morelikeradio.com/live from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then listen to the last hour on contiandkenny.com. Or on ContiandKenny.com from 7 to 10. The whole night. You can hear that however you want, you know? It's just a load of bollocks. It's so convoluted you wouldn't believe. Why they can't just keep it simple? One click. That's all you need. One bloody click. Dopey bloody Guido.
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ollie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ollie, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ollie. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit. I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
You want death metal?
Yes.
Punk?
Yes.
Humorous chat?
Well,
obnoxious chin waggery?
No.
Frosty ales?
2 pints, please.
And a right load of old rubbish?
Rubbish?
Then listen to Metal Breakfast Radio, where we have it all.
Discussion is not necessary. You will obey your orders.
Find us on metalbreakfastradio.com.
I guess it's hard to keep it up when your brain's dribbling out your nose.
Darksentinel.dk.
Exterminate!
And RadioFreeSatan.com.
Oh.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
He is. He's a great friend. He's like my buddy. He's the yeah. doll. Yeah, my buddy. My buddy.
He's not a real
me and my buddy and me. I just pretty much when I need him, which is on Monday nights from 7 to 10.
There you go.
And my buddy. My buddy laughs at everything I say. My buddy. My buddy. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks he's gay.
Nice.
Who wants to get closer to Conti and Kenny? Everyone with gonorrhea does. So why not like the Conti and Kenny Show Facebook page? And now follow the show and them on Twitter. At C&K Show, at Joe Conti Comics, and at Kenny Michael 55. What a weird, stupid Twitter that is. Kenny Michaels 5. Yeah. Kenny Michaels 5. The number 5.
My nickname was I Don't Know Joe because whenever I was trying to talk to somebody about my problems, like, listen, man, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Is that really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how I'm feeling. I don't know. All I know is I don't want to be here. I don't want to be there. I don't know where I want to be. Just, I figured I should tell you. And they're like, they would be like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know.
Listen to the I Don't Know Joe show every Wednesday at joefernandez.net. To subscribe to the podcast, get it on iTunes, morelikeradio.com, or contiandkenny.com. And for that lovely show that's called Conti and Kenny Shorts, subscribe on iTunes or contiandkenny.com. The information's there on all the pages, all the websites, all the complete and utter box. Check it out. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's Conti and Kenny. It's a waste of fucking time. Just get on with it. Is that any good, Governor?
I'm no fruitcake, but if I was, I'd bang that fuck Kenny Michaels from the Conti and Kenny show.
I probably would have gone into that kind of lifestyle.
If you're not listening to the Conti and Kenny show, what the fuck are you listening to?
All right. I love this song by Live. Mental Jewelry is a great album by Live. I don't consider them a grunge fucking band from the 90s. I thought they were different. And if you never heard this Live song, get Mental Jewelry. It's really good. It's not the same as Throwing Copper. Throwing Copper just has fucking 9,000 amazing hits on it, but this Mental Jewelry is a great album by Live.
This was one of the first albums that got me into that whole scene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, real quick, if you take Nirvana and Pearl Jam out of the equation, name your three top bands from your three favorite bands from the 90s.
Right Said Fred.
All right.
No, actually, B-52s.
B-52s from the 90s?
Jesus Jones.
No, I actually, it was the song, Let It Go, Lover. We've talked about it. That was my first, like,
oh, yeah, that's off of this album, yep.
Right, right. And I actually, when I was a roadie, I worked for Live.
Oh, yeah, that's right, when you were doing some of that side work.
Yeah, yeah, and coolest dudes, man. Hung out with them for a long time backstage.
Yeah, they're from New York, Pennsylvania, actually near where we were.
And when you like, I was always a fan of them, but I never like bought their albums and stuff. It was all like radio play.
Right.
But when you see them do a set, you're like fucking from soup to nuts. You're like, I know that song. I know that's, you know, they played for, I don't know, an hour and a half and you knew every song, man. Great band. Yeah. Great band.
I would think my
underrated. Underrated.
I think so. Extremely underrated. I think if I had to choose, take Nirvana and Pearl Jam out of it and just go my three top bands, I would probably say Stone Temple Pilots, Soundgarden, and then Live, and then like my 3A would be Alice in Chains.
Dude, you know what? I'm right there exactly with you.
You know?
Right there. You know what? That's a good fucking list, man. Because
not bad, right? Not bad.
No, that's a great list because Stone Temple Pilots, when they had their first or two albums, and then they did parts of the soundtrack to The Crow. And when I was in the Marines, I was like, oh, this song's awesome. And I bought the albums, and I would fall asleep to Stone Temple Pilots. So all of their albums completely bring me back to whatchamacallit, to when I was in the Marines.
We got Joe Z in the chat. His list is Lenny Kravitz, Stone Temple Pilots, and White Zombie. That's another great, because Lenny Kravitz, he doesn't seem to ever get roped into being a 90s band because he's more of a, you know, you don't think of him as a band. You think of him as him and his band, like, you know, Springsteen, you know, with his band. But Lenny Kravitz, that's a good one, man, because
That's a real good one, too.
Stone Temple Pilots, if fucking What's-His-Face wasn't such a dick, Stone Temple Pilots, I think, would be the biggest band on earth. They would be huge. They were just so good. But Scott Weiland is just such a freak.
Can you send Brent, can you text Brent the two pictures from the Marines and put them in the chat room?
Is
that possible?
Yes, I can do that right now.
Put them in the chat room. That.
Yep.
Because I've had some spare time, so I've been digging through the crates, as they say.
So,
and I've found some old pictures that I think the fans would enjoy.
Colorado Dickhead, he hates the 90s. I hate them all. He should have been born in a different era.
What's his era?
Yeah, like what's your now? Which one do you want me to send real quick? The two Marine ones.
Yeah. Send the two Marine ones, so they know that I'm not bullshitting when I tell them I'm a trained killer.
Okay, I'm gonna send that one.
Yeah, but Lenny Kravitz was one. He was a lot of radio play, but he had, I don't know, maybe two albums that were really great, really really great stuff. And then he started just doing covers later on. You know,
when he did American Woman, right?
Yeah, yeah. Stone Temple Pilots was great. Alice in Chains. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah.
How you gonna fucking? Who's gonna argue with Alice in Chains?
Yeah.
Not Allison in Chains. I meant Alice in Chains. I stuttered on that one.
Colorado Dickhead. I'm proud to say I got to see Alice in Chains get booed off at Red Rocks. I guess that's a place opening for Slayer. Well,
he went the biggest he went to Red Rocks. That's great. It's an amphitheater in I don't know. I guess Arizona or somewhere where there's Red Rocks. And John Tesh at Red Rocks is like the biggest concert they ever played there, and he's going to be pissed when I say that. There was
Alice in Chains should never be opening for Slayer. Who is the idiot that put that together?
Remember, John Tesh was the Entertainment Tonight guy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, and he
played song. The big joke was John Tesh at Red Rocks.
It's just saying something cheap, really ridiculous.
Cheap Trick live at Budokan.
Okay, okay.
It's like one of those things.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so John Tesh at Red Rocks. But it's a big amphitheater made out of these rocks?
I think the 90s, like, for the record, Joe Z, he thinks the 90s sucked for the most part, too. I think they were about 8 or 9 bands that were really good. And then there was a lot of crap. But that goes for, like, every fucking, you know, that goes for, like, every decade, you know? Yeah. I think the 70s decade was the best decade for pop music. Their pop music was really good. 80s pop was and 90s pop was 80, terrible.
80s pop is forgettable. 80s pop is retro good.
Yeah, but 90s pop was terrible. That's when the boy band shit started to come out, and a lot of those bad R&B fucking bands.
Yeah, Boyz II Men and all that.
Yeah, Boyz II Men, yeah. But, like, I'm telling you, man.
Will Smith was big in the 90s, put it that way.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
how about a band like Black Crowes, that were that had a couple of good songs.
Black Crowes were late 80s, very early 90s.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like Hard to Handle was from like 1990.
Yeah, She Talks to Angels is still a great tune.
That's
still a great tune.
She Talks to Angels.
Yeah. You know the song.
Isn't that a Train?
No.
Isn't that the guy from 90210 sings that song?
No, Black Crowes, She Talks to Angels is a great
song. She Talks to Angels, okay.
Yeah.
They were, I don't mind Black Crowes. I like the Black Crowes, but it's just that, but I think when it came down to the 90s, like those bands, and I like the list so far. I like the, what else? You put White Zombie and...
Right.
Lenny Kravitz, you know, those were really good.
Right. When I worked for a lot of these bands, I worked for Korn. I worked for, you know, Live. I worked for, you know, Black Label Society. I worked for a lot of different bands. And you don't realize until you hear their set list where you're like, I know these guys.
We got a phone call. Conti and Kenny Show.
Hello? Conti and Kenny Show, you're on the air.
You said Conti and Kenny. Holy shit. No, it's Colorado Dickhead.
Hey, man.
Hey. Well, first I just want to say, like, you guys got to know what the fuck Red Rocks is.
Okay, yeah.
Bones explained it in the chat. Yeah, it's like all the famous YouTube videos, everything that's all filmed there. But yeah, and you're right. Alice in Chains should not have been opening for Slayer. It was a giant mistake.
What the fuck were you thinking of?
It was Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Alice in Chains back in like 92 or something like that.
Holy shit.
I mean, it was like throwing, you know, they were like the front line just getting just shat on. And the singer got all mad and was, you know, just berating everyone and being like, fuck all you hairy fuckers, I hate you guys.
They should have had Savage Garden open up, it would have been just as bad.
That's yep. funny.
But the other reason I was calling is because I had an incident this weekend that I thought everyone would enjoy to hear. I started a cougar fight.
Really?
Yes.
Between
and it was
two cougars?
Was pretty bizarre. A couple cougars fighting over yours truly.
Nice.
We have a basically like a blues bar pretty close to my house where they get a lot of pretty big acts that come through, but it's a tiny little shithole attached to a hotel. And there's a free rockabilly band playing from the East Coast that my friend told me, yeah, go check these guys out. So I went and saw it, and I went with a group of friends, and we're all sitting kind of by a dance floor. And this woman is there who is, like, just gorilla, like, scary, I don't know, older, but definitely overserved and on some drugs and speaking tongues to us as soon as we walk in. She's, you know, ha-ha-sha-sha-sha, you know, just speaking weird gibberish at us.
So you think she was all banged up?
She was on something, I don't know what.
Okay,
it was,
okay.
It was brutal. So I sit down with my friends, we order beers, you know, we're sitting there, and this lady comes up to me and grabs me, like, caveman style, literally like lifts me up. She's, you guys know what I look like.
Yeah, you're.
I'm not exactly a small dude.
You're not a slight and, build of man. You're not a slight. You're not built like Ronnie Dio, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And this woman literally lifted me up like a rag doll.
Holy
and,
shit.
Brought me out to the dance floor and made me dance with her. And I thought, you know, whatever, fuck it. I had a rough week. I'll entertain my buddies and let them see this shit show occur.
Did she go did she go to the people that you were with and go, do you mind if I dance with your date? So, guys, she dragged you out to the dance floor. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I stick it through. I'm swing dancing with this, like,
you're
monster.
Swing dancing. You're doing
it's
this.
It's a rockabilly band, yeah.
So you're doing it. The Newsies thing. You're doing the Christian Bale thing with this fucking monster.
Yeah, she's tossing me around like, you know, she's leading me.
Yeah, it's she's dipping you.
Terrifying. So she's swinging me around, you know, the song ends, and I go to... I start walking back to the table of my friends, and she grabs me again. She goes, no, keep dancing with me, like demon voice and all. Very intimidating. So I told her, you know, maybe later I'll get to sit down. I can have my drink, you know, we'll wait it out. So I sit down, and this other woman who had to have been about – so I'm about to turn 36, just for reference.
Okay.
But this other woman was probably about, you know, getting close to 50.
Okay.
And she comes up to me and says, hey, come dance with me. So I go, okay. And I, you know, all my friends are fucking laughing their asses off.
Of course
off
they
and,
are.
You know, I'm a sport. I'm like, okay, I'll go do this. So I get up there and dance with her. And she's polite, whatever. I go up to the bar after that dance and I'm ordering a drink. She comes up and starts talking to me. She's asking me all these weird questions like, are you guys in a gang or, you know, because we all had our work. We had our work jackets on, which have a logo that's, you know, not a common logo, but it is just a work jacket. But she thought it was some kind of gang patch or something.
Did you tell her you were the Warriors?
You know what it is?
I should have. No, I couldn't figure out why she's asking these questions until later.
The logo is that slow children sign with like a gun to one of the kids' heads.
Well, I can't describe the logo or it might give away some things, but
of course,
nonetheless, she didn't know what it was, and you know, she's asking me these weird questions. I can't figure out why, but anyway, she says, "What's wrong with that other lady that you were dancing with earlier?" And I said, "I don't know." She says, "Well, she's obviously overserved and probably on some drugs." And I said, that's what it looks like. She probably should have been kicked out of here, but they didn't have a door guy. It was a shit show. The girl was fucking with the bands nonstop, and it was embarrassing almost. But anyway, so I tell this lady, I said, hey, do me a favor. She says, yeah. I said, if that girl comes up to me again, will you throw an arm around me or something so it looks like I'm taken?
Oh, that's adorable. Look at you.
Yep. But no, this lady was scary. I'm telling you, it was like girl of your nightmares. And so I'm sitting there and, I'm enjoying myself. I'm hanging out with my friends and I decide, but the whole time the crazy one's kind of hovering, you know, and I see an opening where she's not like hovering around. And I try to go to the bathroom, which is down a hallway. I get about halfway to the bathroom and I feel this giant grip on the back of my jacket.
Big paw.
And it's her pulling me back again, caveman style, towards the dance floor.
Oh, my God.
And none of my friends are there helping, of course, because they're a bunch of twats, and they're fucking looking at me like, oh, here we go. Here comes the entertainment. And I get out on the dance floor, and so rather throwing an arm around.
Colorado, now you have to do like the cha-cha with an ice road trucker.
So rather than you know, my friends intervening or anything, this random other lady comes up, and rather than doing the throw the arm around me or hey, you know, I'm with this guy or something like that, she jumps in front of me, pushes me out of the way, pushes the girl and says, why are you fucking with my man, bitch?
Oh my god, that's awesome.
nuts.
And so I'm sitting there, and next thing I know, it just turns into this complete mess. It's a hot cougar mess of these two girls. No, I don't care if that's your man. I'll take your man.
Oh, just disasters. Just fucking act like a fucking lady for 5 minutes, will you?
It was awful.
I was talking to you, Colorado.
The other lady, you know, dragged me back to her
her lair.
Whatever, and,
the other lady. Yeah.
She dragged me back to her lair.
Well, she sits on my lap. She's hanging on me. And the other, the crazy one, keeps coming up and, I'll kill you, bitch. Arrest me. Whatever. Well, I'll kill you. And she kept saying, arrest me, arrest me. And I couldn't figure it out. And then, like, a couple minutes later, the nice lady said, you know, I can have this lady taken care of, but I've had a couple drinks, so that wouldn't be good. And then it clicked in my head. She was probably an undercover cop.
Oh, I was going to say, I couldn't figure out which one would be the nice one. But I guess the nice one was the one who was helping you out a little bit.
Yeah, and the nice one, I'm almost positive she was a cop, because she there's no way you would run up and push this beast that was throwing me around.
Yeah, what's a good tell is that he keeps calling them the nice ladies.
Yeah.
He doesn't say hot chicks.
No,
cool
no,
moms.
It's like the two lunch ladies at high school that serve him pizza were fighting over him in a club.
Yeah, when you're in a tuxedo and you have a martini and someone comes up and you're like, hey, lady, that's different than going, well, this lady was sitting on my lap and she left a stain and then she's actually has a badge. You're like, what?
I don't know if that lady was young enough to make stains anymore. But
And well, if they're urine stains, she's still young enough. So,
Oh no, they make more stains as they go. After like 45, all they do is make stains.
Yeah, every time they sneeze, they make a stain. All right.
Good point.
Oh, that's fucking great. You had these two mountain lions fighting over each other. Oh, fucking great. Oh, that's awesome. You rule, dude.
Everyone tells me, like, right after, right after that happened, all my friends go, why are you the only person this shit happened to? And it's true. It's like, if there's somebody crazy in the bar, I'm like a fucking magnet. They come directly at me. And it's going to be something weird.
That happens to me, too. That used to happen to me. I was in a bar once a long time ago. I was probably like 23. And at the time, I was like, I still had my long hair, but I had it in like a ponytail because, I don't know, whatever. I would just fucking put it in a ponytail.
Because you had no idea of style.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I was like 22. I was about a year away from the mullet, which I had for about 6 months until I cut all my hair off. So I'm just sitting there, and I was wearing a black shirt and, like, but I had, like, my Goomba Guinea gold chain on that had a little boot and had a boot, and it had something, like, two other things on there, like a St. Anthony to help me find my keys and another one to keep me from getting syphilis. And I was sitting there, and some dude comes up to me. Now, I was there with probably, I knew about 10 or 15 other people. It was like a local bar. And this dude comes up to me, and he's just looking at me. I'm like, what's up? And he starts talking to me in a weird type of a double talk. Like, he's speaking, like, as a double agent. And he's like, and he looks really nuts. And he's like, the eagle flies at dawn. Bring your glass with the goldfish in it, and don't forget the lipstick. I'm like, what in the fuck is this guy talking about? So, like, 5 minutes later, he comes back, and he's staring at me, and he goes to grab my chain. I don't understand why he was trying to grab my chain. And the way he was grabbing it, he was just going to pull on it. And he grabbed it so quick, and it yanked me, and I grabbed his arm like, dude, what are you fucking doing? You're going to break this thing. And the guy starts freaking out, and he's losing his fucking mind. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? And, like, all these people converge, because I knew a lot of people, and everybody knows I don't fuck with anybody, so they probably figure this guy's a fucking lunatic. And so a big, you know, whatever, nothing, no punches were thrown or anything, but it was all this, like, commotion, and then everything got calmed down, and some guy comes up to me, like, 5 minutes later, and he's like, hey, bro, listen, I just want to apologize about that dude. And I'm like, oh, really? What the fuck's up with him? He goes, I don't know. But he's just fucked up. I'm like, really? He goes, he's a friend of mine. I came with him here, and for no reason, he threw a drink on me. So I don't know what the fuck's wrong with this guy, but there's something really fucking wrong with him. If there's something wrong with somebody, if they're a weirdo or a freak, they will come to me. It happens to me, too. I've had a couple of friends in my day that were weirdos, that were outcasts, that I ended up being friends with because I'm like, ah, he can't be a bad dude. And he wasn't, but he was just a freak show. So same thing, man. The fucking weirdos and freaks always fucking just glom onto me.
Yeah, migrate straight to you. Yeah, no, it's been a problem for me my entire life. But and usually it doesn't end with them being my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, weirdos and freaks are different than drippy old ladies.
Oh, spongy old women.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm getting desperate with my age these days, but not that desperate.
That's all right. But you have to remember, every time, whenever you call up or you tell a story, you always have to end your everything, your sign off with, you just can't make this stuff up.
Yeah, you just can't make this stuff up, I tell you.
That's great.
All right, guys. I'll let you get back to it. We will talk soon.
Thanks for the call, CD.
All right. No problem.
All right, man.
See you later.
It's Colorado Dickhead, our pal from the chat.
Yeah. Real quick. Anybody listening, go into the More Like Radio chat room, and there's two pictures of me and my
glory days.
No. Not glory days. My young days. My baby days.
Did they?
I was 17 years old when both of these pictures were taken.
Did Brent also? Did he ever get the picture of you without the shirt on, and then the one you dressed up?
He put that in last week, yeah.
He put them in last week?
Yeah, he can put them in again if he wants. Yeah. And compare and see what you think. See your pal Kenny, his progression. Yeah, put all those pictures together and then see what happens. See what you think of me. I'll find some more pictures too. But that's Colorado Dickhead, a good pal of ours. Keep the stories coming, man. Call us anytime. You got a story? Call us up. Just know if you call and the story lag. I mean, don't be nervous to call us and be like, I don't think this is going to be that funny. If the funniness is there, we'll help you along.
And if it's not there, it's going to be a really funny phone call.
Exactly. Yeah.
If the call stinks, it's going to be really good.
It's going to end in laughter, or it's going to end in the person calling go, okay, I'm just going to go. I'm just going to hang up, guys. No, but we want to hear from you guys.
All right. You want to do that thing you want to tell me about, man?
Yeah. Let's do this. I was just scrolling around.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And I was going around looking at stuff, and I came across an article where it said it has the it's the 8 richest NFL players of all time. Yep, Brent just put him in. He just put him in the More Like chat, and it's my Marine picture with the bullets around my neck. Then it's my headshot in the Marines. Then it's me when I was on steroids, and then it's me as a flagrant gay man.
A flagrant gay man. I didn't realize.
A flagrant young gay man.
Did you get a penalty for taking it in the ass? What does that mean?
And for anyone who wants to fantasize, I was 14 at that age. I had already gotten laid by a woman. I think, no, maybe I was maybe about 13. Yeah, maybe 12 or 13. But I dressed up as a woman. Anyway, it's in the More Like chat room. Go to morelikeradio.com/live. And you listen live and you go into the chat. And he's got all the pictures there. Anyway, what I came across. Now, you think about all the high-priced salaries in like baseball and whatnot. And even with endorsements. Any sports stars. Even the European soccer guys.
Right.
You know, they make, you know, tons of money.
Tons of money.
And one thing I came across that was kind of interesting because it took me by surprise was the top seven richest NFL players of all time.
Seven or eight? You told me eight. Is it eight?
It's eight. Yeah. One, two, three, four, five, six. It's seven. It's seven.
Why'd they come up with seven? They couldn't find three other guys? They couldn't make it 10?
Yeah.
Why'd you come up with seven?
Well, you got to remember.
Not you,
like,
I'm saying them.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember, like, there's guys like Albert Haynesworth, who signed like a $138 million contract.
I think he signed a $100 million contract. It's crazy.
And then he made like four of it.
No, he had a decent guarantee, probably 15, 16 million, something like that. But still, like, small percentage of it.
15 million guaranteed, and it was 100 million, and you got 15.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the list is kind of very interesting.
Okay. I got that's the old great. NFL. The old
that's awesome. Yeah.
This is the classic battle music.
Yes. Number seven, Joe Montana.
Really? Well, you figured he was in the 80s where they were starting to make some good money, but he's done a bunch of, he's endorsed, you know, sneakers. I mean, he's endorsed a ton of shit.
Exactly. That's where this list is going.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That's where this list is kind of going. It's because these guys, they're, you know, NFL athletes, but the NFL, you don't make your money in the NFL. You make it afterwards.
Yeah. Or, you know, while you're a football player, like if you're in New York, you know, Subway, you know, they make all their money doing all these endorsements.
Joe Montana's done Skechers and, you know, for the shoe brand and whatnot. Hold on one sec. Give me one second. I'm just trying to pull this up.
Okay.
Give you the reasons why. But yeah, number seven, Joe Montana. It's not he was the first one to make $3 million a year playing football.
Really?
Yes. No one else had made $3 million just to play football. He was the first one. Okay. And then he had endorsements and whatnot. And then he invested in whatchamacallit? Different aspects of the game and all kinds of stuff. So okay, just give me one second. Son of a bitch. I'll find it in a second and I can read
it. I'll bring the music up a little bit. See?
There you go. Perfect.
This is the old NFL films, man. The great fucking music. Battle. In turn, the Oakland Raiders, in a battle of doom, came through with a 37-34 victory over the Atlanta Falcons in a big mud bowl where the temperatures ranged from 37 to 42 degrees. The men... Oh, go ahead.
No.
That was my NFL film guys battle.
Yeah, my friend Joe, he recorded him and my friend Vinny arguing with his girlfriend, and every time she would talk, he would play this real high.
Oh, really?
And she would go on a diatribe of like what's wrong with him and stuff.
That's
and
awesome.
it was all played out to the NFL music.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm just gonna give a shit. Who gives that? Anyway, the next one, number six, is Brett Favre. Brett Favre,
okay.
I think it's worth about $115 million,
okay.
Something like that.
He's done. Besides making a ridiculous amount of money towards the end of his career, he does all the jeans.
Yes, the dungarees and the whole thing.
Yep.
Next one is Tom Brady. Tom Brady, of course, has had a couple of good contracts, and he also does a few little odds and ends here and there. You know, with commercials and whatnot, but it's just he's accrued big contracts, and he's come through with all of them, all of the incentives and everything.
Yeah.
Hold on. Give me a second.
I wish I. You know what? While you're doing that, I just got to say, when they sent the shirtless picture of you, you know, from last week, and I guess he put it back up there, and Roy Black on crack put a all right puts away boner. Albert Hainsworth got $41 million out of his $100 million dollar contract. White Ass Brent asks, is this a What Did Kenny Find segment? I don't know if this qualifies for a What Did Kenny Find segment, but it's close.
Yeah, no, this is just something I stumbled over.
Isn't there a list in front of you?
Yes. Hold on.
So what the fuck is wrong? Why is your list, why does it keep disappearing?
Because I wrote it down, and now I have to find it on the internet.
Oh,
I wrote down the thing. Yeah, here it is. I got it right now.
Okay.
Joe Cool, the comeback kid, was the seventh wealthiest NFL athlete. Not a bad list of nicknames and titles for Mr. Montana, who played the National Football League, blah, 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 1979. First player to make more than $3 million a season. He broke that door down in 1990. The comeback kid would earn a staggering, for 1990, $13 million over 4 years.
Wow,
Bird Legs would parlay his on-the-field success into a partnership with a Northern California vineyard. That's what it was, the Northern California vineyard, and started producing his own style of wine named Montasia. In 2011, check out a short interview, blah, blah, blah. That's Joe Montana. He invested in – it's the richest guys now.
Right, of course.
Right. Number six, Brett Favre.
Yep.
Former NFL coach, seen in advertisements endorsing Levi jeans, Nike.
Yeah, he
everything.
Also is part of the inventor of the new camera phone that makes your dick look bigger.
Yeah. Well, how about taking a selfie with getting it plumped up more?
Yeah, it's called the plump phone.
It's the
plump phone 5.
I told you, everybody, don't take a soft selfie, man. No points of reference. Just shine it up. Put some lube on it. Shine it up and make it rock hard.
Nice. All right.
And it was Sears, perhaps Green Bay Packers, blah, blah, blah. So he's worth $100 million. The next guy is Tom Brady.
There
used to be a massive poster of Tom Brady modeling UGG boots on Brookline. Now it's still, in case he isn't, it was probably 200 feet tall, featured Tom Brady. The quarterback, who has won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots, his career-long team, also has endorsements arrangements with Under Armour and has previously been engaged with Smartwater, Visa, and Movado.
Are those black fucking supermodels? What do you mean he's engaged with Movado? Black? What the fuck?
Movado's a watch, Visa's the credit card, and Smartwater's the drink.
Oh, okay.
His on-field performance has led him to some pretty lucrative income. That's why he always passed what they like. Hey, throw 24 touchdowns, you get an extra $15 million.
White Ass Brent says Kenny wrote it down. Someone please teach him about bookmarks, where you could just bookmark something and then click on it later on.
I totally wrote
the link down?
No, I wrote the list.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But I have my own little bookmarks that have said why this one's
okay.
This.
Okay, go ahead.
I wrote my bookmarks down. Number four is John Elway.
Okay,
former quarterback
for
the Denver Broncos.
Yep.
And current general manager for the same Mile High football team, has diversified himself well beyond his Hall of Fame career as a game manager. Elway, who led his teams to 5 Super Bowls over the last 15 years he played in Denver, has diversified his business well beyond the sport that brought him into the position. As owner of the pair of restaurants named Go Figure Elway's and a handful of car dealerships, Elway also owned an Arena Football League team, the Denver Crush, back when the Arena Football team was still a thing. The quarterback, arguably most famous for being the engine behind the drive, blah, 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 helped the Broncos. Thanks to a miracle of YouTube, the entire thing is available to watch. Blah, blah. So, $145 million, John Elway is worth.
White Ass Brent says, Elway owns a shitload of car dealerships, right, and married the daughter of the guy who owns Coors.
Okay.
Wow.
So he obviously invested.
Yeah, he's got vagina money too. Wow.
All right. Number three, Peyton Manning. 165 million.
Yeah, well, didn't he buy 100 Papa John's or something?
At least, yeah, he bought some kind of a massive amount of Papa John's. If this was a list of which NFL athletes said yes to the most endorsements, were that information available in easy to digest public access form, it would have been titled "The Peyton Manning Guide to NFL Money."
Yeah,
one, because he's the figurehead of the NFL endorser, and two, because he'd almost certainly agreed to have it bear his likeness in exchange for fiscal compensation. That's not a knock on Manning at all. In fact, it would be silly to say that if he denigrates his on-field acumen at all, but it's a thing that is recognized by people who watch football. Peyton Manning apparently loves being in advertisements. He'll sell you Papa John's, he'll sell you Bucks, he'll sell you Gatorade, and he'll even sell you DirecTV. Making over $90 million with the Indianapolis Colts, Manning took a year off to rehab himself from serious neck injury and was waived by the club, so he promptly signed a five-year deal for an additional $96 million with the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's 165. Now, here it gets interesting. Number two.
Can I guess?
Absolutely.
I really don't know.
As long as you're not cheating.
I'm not cheating. What the fuck, you know?
All right, here it is. Here it is. I get to ask
three questions.
Okay, but I don't think you're going to get either one of them.
No?
You definitely will not ever want... you. No one... Don't fucking spoil it in the fucking chat room, you jerk fucks. This is for Joe. You will not get number one.
Okay, I'm not going to look at the chat room for a minute. Okay.
Yeah, don't fuck it up.
Okay. So can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure, sure.
Okay. What decade did this player play, do you think?
See, that's kind of weird because he played way back in the early, and he was a coach in the early 70s.
So he was a coach. Oh, okay, I know this one.
Who is it?
Oh, wait, I don't think he was a player.
I don't think he was a player.
John Madden.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, John Madden. Dude, you know why he makes it? You know why he's so rich?
Of course, the Madden football game.
The fucking football game.
Absolutely.
Holy
worth
shit.
$200 million. Since 1994. That was the first, I guess, the first Madden game.
Right.
Since 1994. And they actually asked him to do his namesake and since 1988, where they were trying to put the game together. But the technology changed so much that it was from 1994. $200 million.
Nice.
That old fuck is worth. Yeah. And he's dead in like a week. he's on the Mickey Rooney bus. I guarantee it.
Well, that's his bus. He drives a bus everywhere. He's afraid of flying. So he has a specialized bus that goes. That's why he never goes to Hawaii to do the Pro Bowl, because he won't fly. So he stays in the continental United States.
Right, right.
All right. And now there's number one, right?
Now, you're not bullshitting. You have no idea. You hadn't seen anything.
I swear to God.
Okay. Just take a wild guess. I'm going to tell you the amount he's worth. How about that?
Okay.
I'll tell you the amount he's worth. $600
million.
$600
million.
$600 million. A former player.
Former player. Was he ever a coach?
No, never a coach. Okay. But he retired in 1979.
Retired in
1979. I'll even tell you his position.
Okay, give me the position.
He was a quarterback.
He was a quarterback.
Worth $600 million.
Retired in 79.
Mm-hmm.
Was he with one team his whole career?
I believe so.
NFC, yeah. Or AFC?
You know what? He's legendary with his team. Okay. If you went back to lineage of quarterbacks.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of 79. Who was quarterback? No. I was going to. No, he retired before that. Let me think. Retired in 1979.
Yep. And he won two Super Bowls. Won an MVP and a six-time Pro Bowler. worth $600 million.
I'll be able to figure this out. If he won two Super Bowls, I can definitely figure it. Doesn't make any sense because I don't know. Would it be a shock that he's worth this that much money?
Yes, it's not where it's not. It has nothing to do with football.
Roger Staubach?
No shit.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Is it really? I swear to God, dude, only because I know he won two Super Bowls in the 70s.
And your fucking stupid dates. Your stupid years. Yes, Roger Staubach.
Yeah, really? But what did he do? What's he did to make $600 million?
When he first started playing, he had a real estate business because he said I had three kids and I got to make money in the off season. And then in 2008, he sold his company for $640 million.
You're kidding.
Yeah, his real estate company for $640
Holy
million.
Holy shit. Wow.
Good fucking call.
I swear, dude. What am I going to fucking... Who am I impressing? Am I impressing Joe Z in the chat? I swear to God, I don't... I'm an idiot.
I would have never gotten it.
I don't think I would have... The 79, knowing when he about to retire, and then won two Super Bowls, because I'm thinking of... Because right now, you have to...
You're thinking of Bradshaw or who else?
I knew Bradshaw was still playing, and Bradshaw won four. So I'm thinking it could have been Bart Starr. He won two. What's his name? Miami won two back in the 70s. And then I know Dallas won two. And then I knew that he would MVP and a legend. No shit. Roger Staubach.
Yeah.
Sold it for $640 million.
Yeah.
And he was a Navy guy.
What's that?
He was a Navy guy.
Oh, you know what? I'm not even sure.
That's the school. That's the college he went to. He played for Navy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
See, Brent thought it was Tarkenton. I thought it was Tarkenton, too, for a second. But I just knew. I'm like, he's not worth that much fucking... Wow. Roy Black on crack put OJ. Yeah.
But you're thinking about it. They're all quarter... Besides for Madden, they're all quarterbacks. And
oh, wait a minute.
You know,
are they all QBs?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's Montana, Favre, Brady, Elway, Manning. Then you got Madden, then you got Staubach. But just think about Walter Payton. Think about Jerry Rice. Think about all of these guys.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, they're not even close to $100 million.
Namath. Namath's not even probably not
Namath,
even close.
Of course. Namath is probably broke at this point.
Yeah, he probably spent that all on just booze.
You know, that. Yeah,
trying
yeah.
to kiss and fucking then you interviewers.
Yeah, I want to kiss you.
I don't care about Jack Pennington.
Just think about, you know, A-Rod, who's made $500 million.
Yeah, wow, that's right.
You know? And yeah. all these Hall of Fame football players, all of them, Gene Upshaw, wow. you know, Mean Joe Green, yeah. Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
They're not even close.
Not even close.
They're all modern. Besides, you know, it threw me off because I was like, fucking Roger Staubach.
Wow.
Like, number one. Madden, I could see, like, it's...
Yes, because of the Madden games. Yep. And
huge,
the other guys.
Huge.
I would have never guessed it without the...
I'm really awful at giving hints.
No,
here.
But the hints were fine. I thought they were good.
Wow.
Fucking Roger Staubach. Jesus.
Yes. And he did it throughout his entire career. He sold real estate on the off season. Because
he's like,
if I get hurt, I have three kids I got to support. So, and then fucking.
And back then, a lot of those guys, maybe not in the 70s as much, but in the 60s, all those guys, they had regular jobs during the off season.
Oh, absolutely. Even if you go back to the Yankees, Yogi Berra and Phil Rizzuto used to sell suits at the same suit place in the off season. They would win championships in the 50s, and they would on the off season they're fucking suit salesmen. Fucking wow. Yogi Berra's got to sell a suit. You know what I mean?
White Ass Brent says Joe Namath's net worth is $18 million. Not even close.
Not even close. I mean, it's still pretty good.
Yeah. Why didn't ask Brent? But I can barely remember Seattle won the Super Bowl last year. That was two months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just imagine you're like, hey, Yogi, Check my inseam, you cunt.
Yeah, really, exactly. I'm a little tight in the sack. Why don't you loosen it out a little bit?
Yeah. Can you let my pants out? I've gained a few. And Yogi Bear is like, yeah, I could take a little out here, a little out there.
Yeah, he's walking around with tape measure around his throat.
Yeah, yeah. He's catching Hall of Famers in a World Series, and I see him in December, and he's got a fucking tape measure around his neck.
Exactly, and he's getting on a step stool to reach my waist. Because he was so goddamn small. Is he still alive?
Yes. His wife just died. He's in ill health, but he was at opening day today. Opening day for the Yankees was today.
Okay. He must be excited, huh?
Not in ill health. His wife just died. So
right.
He's been married to her since the 40s or something.
Right.
So he's one of those soul spirits that's going to be dead soon. Once the wife goes, he's going to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're like best friends, and they, you know, it's like wherever Yogi goes, she's there, and she passed away. So,
hey, Boo Boo.
Yeah. So put Yogi Berra on your death list because it's going to happen soon.
All right. What are you pumped for this year?
Baseball wise?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty good, except for my closer just walked off with a groin injury.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They got to replace Mo is gone.
Right. So now they're going to do a little shifting around.
Yeah. You know, we've got like a half a Japanese fucking rotation. And I think they'll be fine. It'll be interesting. We'll have to see. But I do have tickets for Jeter's last game.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah. Jeter's last game up in I bought tickets in June against Boston, and I got his last home game. So I will be in Yankee Stadium for Jeter's last home game.
When is that? End of September or something?
Yeah, September 27th or something like that.
Nice. Is it like a Saturday night, like a fun night? Or
I believe so, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
I believe so. Yeah, and me and my fam are all taking a bus ride up. Me and the nieces and my brother-in-law and my sister. He organized a bus trip, which is always good. Free beer. I don't got to drive. Oh, it's going to be great.
That sounds good, man.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? No one commented on any of these fucking pictures in the chat room, which I'm surprised.
Well, they're too busy jerking off to them. That's all.
My 5 o'clock in the morning with the fucking haze of, you know, I smelt napalm that morning. And I've got 7 yards of bullets around my neck, and no one commented.
I think they were all pretty.
Yeah, and then Otto saw my Marine picture, and he's like, "Dude, he's like, that should be your fucking headshot. You look like a fucking sniper."
Let me see. Hey, I want to try to read this story, but it's tough to. This was actually sent to us, one of our listeners. Adrian, let me see if I can, this is a real story. This is out in I think in Britain. Some dude is going to sue, some place called Greg's. There could be no finer treat than tucking into a piping hot Greg's chicken bake pastry in one of Britain's peeling in windswept town centers.
What is a chicken what?
It's called a chicken bake pastry. So it probably looks like almost like a
roasted chicken or something.
No. It looks like a pastry. It almost looks like a turnover, but it's one of those like where it's like an apple like a chicken pot pie inside of like a little doughy thing.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
I got you. Like I got
one
you,
of those
yeah.
things. But this guy, Howard Russell, took his admiration for the flaky pastry snack to an extreme and some would say warped new level. The 32-year-old sales manager developed a sexual fetish for having sex with the piping hot pastries. Alas, unwed Howard came to a sticky end. A sticky and terribly blistering blend. Last Saturday, after stocking up with chicken bakes, he scuttled back to his terraced home in Northwich, Cheshire, for an afternoon of bakery-based fornication. But finding that his purchases had cooled on the walk home, Howard blasted one of them bakes in the microwave before slipping his erect member into its creamy white sauce interior. It was then that he realized...
Send a picture of one of these bakes. Someone find a picture of a bake. What's it called? A chicken bake?
Yeah, I can forward it to you. Okay, Michael, and then Brent. White ass. There we go. I'll send it to you guys real quick. So he put it in a microwave, and then he put his dick in it. And it was then he realized far, far too late that the microwave process has raised the temperature of the sauce to something that of Atlantic lava. Nursing his scalded schlong last night, Howard whimpered, "I have been into Greg's many, many times, and never have I seen a sign of warning you not to put your penis into one of their products, especially after it has been reheated. That, to me, is a clear case of negligent, and I intend to sue." So this dude, supposedly, "I made a phone call to one of those solicitors who advertise on the telly, but unfortunately the person on the end of the phone had some sort of coughing fit when I explained my predicament. I ran my helmet under cold water straight away."
He said helmet?
"I ran my helmet under cold water straight away, but I'm still in agony and can barely walk. It's covered in blisters. I may never be able to have sex with a pasty again. Last night we approached Greg's store, Northwich, Trendy, whatever street, shipping area, to get the company response, but the shop had already closed for the evening." So this shithead actually wants to sue. And he says it's 100% fucking true story. This guy wants to sue because there isn't a thing on the box that says, don't put your penis into it after it's heated up in a microwave.
The funniest, he said that
it's a hot pocket. That's exactly
I rinsed my helmet off. He actually said helmet. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's a hot pocket, Brent, the best way to...
I just saw a picture of it.
Yeah. Like, basically, really, dude? Unfucking believable.
I rinsed my helmet off.
I had to wash my helmet off. Oh my God. Jesus. We're gonna do this a little late. I'm gonna go a little along with the music. I'm starting it early tonight because I wanna give guys time to do some websites, all right? We got lots of time. I'm just putting it out there now. I'm going to do the plugs, get them out of the way. I want some good websites for tonight that we're sponsored, all right, gentlemen, in the chat? I want to thank everybody in the chat. Thanks for being a great big part of this show. Thank to everybody who's been listening since 2006. Colorado Dickhead for calling in. Don't forget, like our Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com/Conti and Kenny and like our Facebook page, goddammit. Our Twitter account, @CNKShow. Mine is @JoeConticomic. Kenny's is @KennyMichaels5. And Brent's is @WhiteAssBrent. Subscribe to both of the podcasts. You can go to iTunes, ContiandKenny.com, MoreLikeRadio.com. Or just go, you can go to iTunes and also subscribe to Shorts. We have a new one, number 10, called My Buddy. And get the TuneIn app for your phone so you can listen to the show live. You get the TuneIn app, it's free. And then you put More Like Radio in the search. When you find it, you put a little favor to it and you can always go to her and listen to it.
I tell you honestly, looking at the chat room and the, I guess it's like a... National Enquirer picture that
it does look like fake, but he swears that it's true.
Well, the guy's picture, it looks like everybody who's on this network. He resembles every single fucking radio host.
Yeah, he does.
Besides for me and you.
Yeah, okay. Also, May 9th, come on out, get your tickets, come see me and Kenny. Co-headlining at Big E's Comedy Room in Hoboken, New Jersey. It's a Friday night, 11 o'clock. You can go to get your tickets. All the links is a Facebook link and a brown paper tickets link to buy the tickets. Just go to joeconti.com and go to my calendar and click on it on May 9th, and you'll get all the information. All right?
And also, April 17th, Springfield, Mass. Springfield, okay. Massachusetts. Me and Otto and George, if you're in that area, I will have more information this Monday.
All right, cool. A couple of shows that we are very tight with. Metal Breakfast Radio. Dave Ingram, Donovan. It's a great podcast. Check him out. He does all the work for us. He does all this great production work and all the anytime you hear a Brit talking on our program, it's Dave Ingram. Our pal Rich Woods. Check out his show every Tuesday night, unlearn.tv. Also, Joe Fernandez's podcast, the I Don't Know Joe Show. And then my friend Benny Michaels has a good podcast. It's called Pod Cheese. Check that out. And then, of course, all the shows on More Like Radio. A couple of regular sites that we're friends with. JJComedy.com for great comedy shows in North Jersey. Go to GodHatesBrickStone.com. That's Dave Cyrus's website. It's very funny. And then life-forever.com. That's our pal DeChrome. He's an artist down in Atlanta, and that's where he does his comics and shit. So that about covers it.
Yeah, I got www.dogsniffingballscancer.com.
Nice. We have cougarfight.com. Very nice.
Very good.
Nobeardfelon.com. David.ingram.com or David.ingram.com.
www.chambersburg.
Chambers.
There's a couple of dashes and periods in there too.
Oh, yeah,
chambersburg.com.
I hate this chat room because it doesn't let you curse, so you have to spread it out. So one of the websites is censored.er.com. So I don't know what the actual one is. Oh boy, here we go. Ready? www.saychambersburg one more time, motherfucker.com. White ass Brent. Chambersburg.
www.caricatures.com.
Caricatures.
I got it.
You got it?
www.igotit.com/caricatures. No, so fuck. I thought I had it.
Anybody else have anything else? If not, we'll end the show early. Let you guys go. Do you got to do, man? You know, we appreciate it, man. Everybody, Bones, yeah. Colorado, Joe.
I'll be back up in the studio next week. I promise.
Roy, of course, our producer Brent. All right. If they got nothing, we'll let them go. We'll let you guys get out early, and I can go home early too. So, all right, man. That was a great show. We ended a little. Joe Z, obesitysnotfunny.com. That's really funny. Ironically, that's really funny. That's good, man. You know what? We got a little music playing in the background. We'll give a couple more seconds. See if anybody comes up with anything. Anybody know? Can anybody guess what song this is? Anybody know what song this is? Not you, Kenny.
I think this is God Bless Croatia.
Come on. Anybody guess this? Come on. And check the other chat room, Kenny, if anybody can guess what song this is I'm playing.
Yeah, nothing in More Like, no.
Now I can't remember the name of the song. Hold on, I gotta look. It's obviously
RogerStaubach.com.
What is it?
RogerStaubach.com.
RogerStaubach.com. That's an expensive fucking website right there.
Mickey Rooney, you're too old, we didn't talk about you.com. Mickey Rooney, liver spots, forehead.com. Mickey Rooney looked like you were dead 8 years ago, .com.
Oh.
Mickey Rooney, I wish you met you, .com.
Oh.
How about that one? Is that better? Mickey Rooney, 8 wives, cuntfucker.com.
8 wives?
He had 8 wives.
Really?
Yeah, he had 8 wives.
Dummy.
Ava Gardner was his first wife.
No shit, she was pretty hot, right?
Yeah, that fucking Hervey Villechaize of Broadway fucking marries Ava Gardner. Ava Gardner was married to Sinatra and fucking Howard Hughes, and Mickey Rooney fucked her first.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney with his little fucking nipple dick.
Yeah.
You know, he did his work. Yeah, Ava Gardner was the first one.
Jesus, he followed that brown brick road right into her old cooch. It was a midget joke.
Doesn't make any sense, but...
midget joke.
Mickey Rooney banged her before she got banged by Sinatra.
Oh, wow. So Sinatra
Mickey
followed
Rooney
him.
Slumber nicely with that one. Eternally slumber knowing that you got Ava Gardner.
Good for him. Good for him.
Fucking snatch-oli.
Nice. All right. I think that's it, brother.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll save it for next week, people, if you can't figure it out. What a tease, huh? They don't know what song this is. Nobody's figured it out. Anybody guess in the other chat? All right. I'm not telling. Somebody in the chat remind me next week. As soon as we start the show, 5 minutes into the show, I'll tell you what song this is. What a great tease, huh, Kenny?
It's called Hot Pocket Belland.
SloppySecondSinatra.com. He came Colorado, came up with
go.
That quick.
There you go.
All right, let's get out of here. We'll see you guys next week, and I'll tell you who does this song. All right? Kenny, I'll see them later.
I'll call you in like 2 minutes.
Okay. Bye, everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
Mickey Rooney's awesome, but even with a tiny ding-dong.
Mickey Rooney has a big midgetcock.com.
Tiny ding-dong, big bank account, Ava Gardner fucks.
Yeah.
Sandpaper tongue, cunt, twat.
MickeyRooneyTheGardener.com. All right. Let's get out of here. We wasted enough fucking time. All right. Sorry for the last 3 minutes, but it's fun. We'll see you guys next week. Conti and Kenny signing off. Take care.
Right,
bye.
Mickey Rooney.
Next week we'll tell you.
My boy Mickey Rooney.
That's my boy.
Boy.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Yogi.
Yogi. Mickey Rooney.
Bye, Kenny.
Same height.
Goodbye.
See you next week.